Blog Talk Radio.
Monitor myself, y'all are seeing like I'm having difficulty. Let me see what's going on. Let me bring Brother Justice in. I get a sound check. Can you hear me, Brother Justice? Please.
You sound loud and clear.
Okay, I don't know what the heck going on this other end. I'm just trying to monitor myself. All right. Let me start it over then. All right, brothers and sisters, peace. Welcome in one more time here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely, we up in this house. We are up in this house on this magnificent Thursday night. Oh, yes, it is, man. Hell, man, we in it. What the hell? I forgot what month this is. This is April the 6th, man, of 2023. I'll be going by the Hebrew calendar, too, so yeah, I had to remember both calendars are different. So, yes, sir, it is April the 6th right here of 2023, man. Delighted to be in the house one more time with you right here on this magnificent Thursday night. It's been kind of raining here, but it's going to get kind of cool, but we're in the house. We're in the house anyway. But tonight, we just got a little topic of conversation we just want to throw out here tonight, man, talking about what the hell is really going on with this in been going on in this world. Let me edit that right. I got on this world. In this world, y'all, what the hell is really going on in this world? Man, it has been chaotic. As y'all see the news and y'all just see things, and you don't have to even watch the news. Just see things what goes on in society and around your neighborhood and around it. Y'all see it's pure pandemonium. And that's why I even opened up with that right there, the song starting off by the Temptations, talking about that ball of confusion, man, because that's what it is today. It sure enough is, brothers and sisters. It is a ball of confusion. Yes, sir, brothers and sisters. That's what it is today. Yeah, oh, okay, that's my Bluetooth acting a fool. I guess my Bluetooth died out. That's why I couldn't hear nothing. Okay, we good. Brother Justin said we good, so we good. Brother Justin said it good, always good. All right, y'all, just get in here. Let's get Brother Justin in the house right here as we're going to get started. We got just a couple of things we're just going to put out tonight. And let me just read the description right fast. I just got to put a couple of things in the description tonight. Are we now living in the fall of humanity? Yes, sir. Are we now living in the fall of humanity with all of this foolishness we see going on in the world? You know, we don't know of a person, boy, girl, he, she, husband, wife, them, that, you know, all kind of crazy shit now going on. Definitions are changing as well. They change, trying to change the definitions. And I got as well, our so-called black people in America being used as pawns in the Democratic political game, in the Democrats, I should say, political game. Mm-hmm. Let me say it again, y'all, because, you know, I had to put that out there because, you know, mostly so-called African-Americans, black people in America highly vote for the Democratic Party. So are so-called black people in America being used as pawns in the Democrats' political game? And we're going to touch on that. And how things of the past become have things of the past that was wrong at one time now become right of today. Y'all got that? Y'all remember the things that was on wrong on yesterday? Just like, you know, we talk about marijuana. It was against the law at one time. Now it has become the law of the land. Yeah, it's okay. A lot of things, even when we have here in America, homosexuality, now is the law of the land. Two men can marry each other, two women, and, you know, hell, you want to marry your damn near, marry your dog, your cat, your rat, your hamster, whatever, shit, hell, anything goes now in this society, man. So, you know, the things that was looked at as being wrong at one time, now it seemed to be the okay of today. So that's what we're just going to get into in just many more. I got a couple of clips and we're going to discuss tonight. And we also want to hear from you, brothers and sisters, tonight right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. And you can come on in and chime in. Hey, just share your thoughts. They don't have to be on nothing we're talking about. It's just like what the hell is really going on in this world. So you can call in at 563-999-3081. One more time, that number is starting with the area code. Area code is 563. That's 3999-3081. And we would gladly like to hear from you. And before I bring Justin in, I want to give a shout out right fast to a good brother I found out that listened to the show, Brother Devon. Yes, sir. Brother Devon, peace. And thank you, my brother, for listening to the show. And not only that you listening to the show, I greatly want to say I appreciate you for inviting others to listen to the show. Man, I got to give you my own personal, not a sound effect applause, man. I want to give you a shout out, brother, and tip my hat to you. If I had a Kango on, I tip my LL Cool J Kango to you, my brother. Thank you, brother, for sharing the show. And Big Man, Big Minds, appreciate you, brother. Big Minds as well, who follow the show on, you know, follow the show and follow us even on Twitter. I thank you, my brother, as well. And Brother Devon, one thing here, we would like to hear from you. Yes, sir. We would like to hear from our younger brothers and sisters, because we always talk about our youth and our young brothers. So we would like to hear from, you know, our younger brothers and sisters, because, you know, we are concerned about them. Because Whitney Houston said, children are the future. So we are concerned about you. That's why we always mention about our younger brothers and sisters, because it's not that we say things to bash them and talk down upon them. We're trying to talk them up. So we are concerned about a lot of behavior. It's not all of our young brothers and sisters, but we are concerned about the world that they're going to have to continue to keep living in. That's why we are trying to liberate the minds of them and wake them up. So we would like to hear from someone, you know, in this in this younger generation, their 20s or whatnot, even younger, your teens. We would like to hear from you. Even your 30s, we'd like to hear from you as well. So with that, I want to bring Justice on in the house, though. Let's get some Black History facts, brothers and sisters. Let's get it going right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Peace, Brother Justin. Go ahead and do your thing.
All right. Thank you very much. It is now time for a Black History moment. On this date or close to, born in 1856, Booker T. Washington, an educator and founder of Tuskegee Institute. In 1968, 16-year-old Black Panther Bobby Hutton was killed by police in Oakland, California. Born in 1743, Toussaint Louverture organized the first successful Black revolution in the Western Hemisphere and led Haiti to independence. Born in 1898, Paul Robeson, an actor and singer, and worldwide advocate for freedom for African people. In 1937, Colin Powell, the first African-American to serve as Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces and Secretary of State, is born in New York City. In 1903, W. Warwick Cardozo, physician and pioneering researcher into sickle cell anemia, is born in Washington, D.C. In 1915, jazz and blues legend Billie Holiday is born in East Baltimore, Maryland. In 1974, Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's major league record with 715 home runs. In 1943, Arthur Ashe, the first African-American to win the U.S. Open and men's singles title at Wimbledon, is born in Richmond, Virginia. And finally, in 1996, 43 African nations signed the African Nuclear Weapons Free Zone Treaty, pledging not to build, bury, stockpile, or test nuclear weapons. And that was a Black History moment on Culture Freedom Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother, how you been? How you been doing, my brother? How you doing?
I'm been well, and I want to give a shout-out to Devon. I think I do remember that brother calling us back in the day and being part of the show. That's the same guy. I remember him, and yeah, shout out to him, because I remember he was a younger brother, and he had some good things to say, and some good things to say about some things that you were doing and you had did. That was a powerful Black moment on Culture Freedom Radio. So yeah, anyway, I've been fine, been busy. Getting back on track. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here tonight with you, Brother Aria, and let's get into our topics tonight.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get the first order of business. Let's just dive into politics first and foremost. I guess we can dive into politics. We all have seen what's been going on, because we're going to go here, because you kind of let end it off a little bit. Last week you was talking about Donald Trump. So we've seen this thing with Donald Trump. So-called have been indicted and arraigned, or so-called arrested, you know, didn't go to jail, you know, didn't stay in jail. So we've seen this going on now, brothers and sisters. So, you know, that's one of the things. And I've seen some stuff that somebody posted on Twitter, brother posted on Twitter. He was even mentioning that. And he said, just kind of like, look at that. It comes on the heels of the 55th anniversary of Dr. King, you know, assassination, when they so-called, you know, took him and arraigned him, and he was, and they was trying to say, look at it. It was a Black prosecutor, a district attorney, who was the one who brought charges on him. So it was just making it look like, you know, look how times have really changed now. You know, when white people were doing this to us, now you got a Black prosecutor prosecuting a white man and all of this type of stuff, and, you know, all of this, that, and other. But, you know, like people were cheering that. But, yeah. And, but it seemed to be that way, brothers and sisters. But I tell you, you got to look, and this is what we're trying to say. I had another topic that I had on there with African-Americans being used. This is the first topic I will that changed it. African-Americans being we still can throw that in as well. African-Americans being used to cause chaos and disorder in here in America. Still can put that on the table. And I damn sure can say yeah to that, man. I damn sure can say yes. And but the whole thing about Donald Trump is being going to be arrested and being put in jail. Y'all don't look for that shit. Don't look for that shit to happen. that whole this situation, man, there you, and that's where I go. That was the thing I remember a long time ago. I remember hearing elders saying how blacks or black people or whatever we want to, melanated brothers and sisters, we're always being, not always, but sometimes they always use us as the scapegoat, as the scapegoat. And that's exactly what is going on with a lot of this shit. That's why I'm saying blacks being used to cause chaos and disorder in America. Because y'all look at a lot of this shit that's happening. We always talked about we need black people in this place. We start putting black people in leadership, should have changed. But I'm going to ask y'all something. How have that been changed? How have that been working so far? We've been having black mayors. We've been having black city council members. I don't know, some places they have aldermen. We've been having black people in high positions. They just kicked what's her name ass out of there, Laura Lightfoot. But goddamn, I just heard something else. They replaced her with somebody even worse than that's going probably worse than her. Someone who was actually saying that they wanted to defund the police. They just elected that person as mayor, a black man. So they like, I don't know, brothers and sisters, but this shit is crazy what's going on. You know, and y'all can see a lot of the bullshiggity that's really going on. I got a couple of clips a little bit too that I'm going to play. I'm going to play this one right fast. This is only 2 minutes of sister going in about Trump. Let me know if you hear this. Can you hear this one, bro?
Okay.
Can you hear that?
No.
Oh, shit. This shit might not work. Okay, let me do it on my. I probably have to do it. Let me try to get him to see it again. You don't hear nothing?
No, sir.
Okay, let me. I have to do it on my phone. Oh, somebody. Let me see. Somebody calling in. Let me see here. We got a call already. Let's do this caller first, and we'll come back. Peace, okay. Caller. Peace, caller. All ones. Peace to you. Welcome in to Culture Freedom Radio. Peace to you.
Thank you for taking my call. It's been a while. Sorry, Jerry. How you doing?
I heard that voice. As soon as I heard, before you say your name, I knew you were Sarge. How you doing, bro?
I know Sarge. I remember the guy.
I'm doing well, and I'm telling you, remember all the things I used to call y'all and talk to you about? I think, and I got to compliment you, sir, and your colleague, because it appears now, I think it has sunk in, and you are realizing it, and I thank God for that. I think the hardest mission of my life has been to get people to see objective truth, not my truth or your truth or their truth, objective, transcendent truth. It is probably the most difficult thing to get across to people these days. I mean, the very concept is anathema to many people. They don't actually believe it's even possible to have transcendent objective truth. But we all know that is the only thing that can make civilization work, at least the aspiration to it. And right now we are living in a time of universal deceit. As George Orwell said, to tell the truth in a time of universal deceit is a revolutionary act. We are being made to believe, there are people attempting to make us believe, that a man can have menstrual periods and become pregnant. After that, I rest my case.
Yes, sir. And you're right, Brother Sarge. I appreciate it. You know, like back then, you know, I was on my black power thing and all of this stuff back then when you used to call in. But, man, I'm going to tell you, when Trump took office and I started seeing a lot of stuff, and really with that, it really woke me up. I ain't going to lie. His presidential, about him becoming president, and I started really just observing stuff and looking at stuff, it really – now, I wasn't even really into politics, but that kind of woke me up a little bit to some stuff that was going on, and really seeing, you know, the lies and deceit that these Democrats were actually doing to our people and putting out, because they kept playing us with the race card, and I started seeing that, and started listening to people like Candace Owens and all of that, and I was like, man, nah, bro, this ain't it. Oh, man.
Well, look, man, look here, look. I think they're not actually using black people as scapegoats. I'm talking about the neo-Marxist progressive left, the intersectionalists, all these people out there that are doing all of this stuff. They're using black people as stalking horses. They're using them as cover to conceal the true intentions of what they're doing. Now, let's take Alvin Bragg. In this case, since you mentioned it, the case of Alvin Bragg and Donald Trump and what's going on in New York. Now, let's look at what the man did. This is a man whose office has reduced 50% of felony arrests brought before his office. Reduced 52% of felonies. And I'm talking about violent felonies like armed robbery, like sexual assault, like attempted unlawful restraint, burglary, serious crimes, the kind of crimes that make you look over your shoulder in the middle of the night when you're walking down the street. Not an administrative bookkeeping crime, okay? I'm talking about the kind of thing that make you look over your shoulder and make you fearful when you're going down the street at night. This office has reduced 52% of felonies and misdemeanors, and they have lost 49% of the felony cases they have decided to bring before them and take to court. Now, this man, Fat Alvin Bragg, I call him, he has decided to gain a function, a misdemeanor bookkeeping offense, at best, even if you believe Trump was guilty of it, whose statute of limitations expired 2 years ago, into a felony that is only made to be within the statute of limitations by piggybacking it onto another crime, probably a federal statute, since he won't tell us what this other crime is, which at some point he's going to have to do, but piggybacking onto a federal statute of which he has no jurisdiction. Now, that is absolutely incongruent given his record as a prosecutor. It doesn't make sense, and you step back and look at what he and guys like him are all about. Remember, when they stuff comes out, they use black people as a stalking horse. Because, see, if you criticize them on objective grounds, irregardless of race, like competence, like their record, like their expressed policy, remember this guy campaigned to get Trump in the most Soviet manner possible. Like Latvia Beria of the Soviet secret police said, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. It was that, and he campaigned on this. He should be disbarred, as far as I'm concerned, for just that. Not disbarred. But
yes,
the gambits and permutations of the neo-Marxist left are endless, amazingly numerous, and varied. But this is the bottom line, that we must always, and I mean always, remember, their ultimate goal is redistribution. Now, in a Marxist mold, in a classical economic Marxist mold, it's economic. But in this particular American style of neo-Marxism, it could be economic, but it could also be social, cultural, historical, situational, power-altering. But redistribution is always the ultimate objective. Fat Alvin Bragg is doing that in his way. He's redistributing justice from whom he thinks it should go to whom it actually belongs to. It's a Marxist thing. People don't see it, but that's what we do. He's redistributing justice. Everything is Marxism with these people, ultimately. It just assumes different guises. And even Karl Marx, though, didn't like the lumping proletariat criminal because he didn't think that really advanced the revolution. Even Karl Marx was kind of disdainful of them. But this modern Democrat Party, and wherever they go, these big cities, they seem to embrace these people as some kind of protective class. I've never seen anything like it. I never thought I would see anything like it, but here we are. And Chicago just elected one of the worst possible imaginable. They are going from the frying pan of Lori Lightfoot to the fire of Amanda Johnson. It's just astonishing.
Teach on it. And I'm glad you said that about he. Well, I'm glad you said about that the district prosecutor, district attorney, that he ran on election to go after Trump. And you know what? I thought about that, and that's what people need to hear that. And he did the same thing as that district was that prosecutor or whoever did to say the same thing about Bill Cosby. If you vote for me and put me in there, I guarantee you I can get Bill Cosby. The same exact thing.
Now, think for a minute now. You're running for the DA's office. That means you don't have access to any evidence that might possibly implicate Donald Trump in a crime. You're running for office. And before you even get to see any evidence that would enable you to see, you being able to see by virtue of your office, you have already declared someone a criminal, and you're going to get him.
Hmm.
This is Soviet stuff. We don't do this in the United States. Wow. Letitia James did the same thing. And here's the problem with it. The problem is that when you get a black face up here doing something like this, you can't, in many circles, you can't criticize them because they're black. Then they just say, well, you don't like them because you're racist and you don't like a black man. If you ask me, and even though I don't believe this because I know there are innumerable, competent, ethical black people out there that can fulfill the same job that Alvin Bragg is doing, but if I was to believe that is the only kind of black official we could get, then I would say there's a good reason not to elect black officials. Because government officials must, I don't care what their race is, they've got to be held accountable. I don't care whether they're white, whether they're black, you cannot not criticize or hold to account a government official because of the power and the authority that they wield. And when you go up here saying you can't criticize a black official because they're black and it's because he's got a history of racism, then I say that's a reason not to elect them. And that's all. That's just the case. That's all too often the case with black elected officials in many circles.
That's right.
They do an abysmal job of governing if they're leftist Democrats. And when you point out their record of horrid governance, the first thing that comes out of people's mouths is this racist. They're both them.
And that's why I started, I kind of used it worded, you know, like being used as a scapegoat, because like I said, they putting them in there so you can't say, well, see, there's racism, there's racist. So black people can't be screaming racist because there's a so-called black face there.
Man, the most openly racist people I know in the United States. I don't know if black people are more racist than white people. I hope they're not. I don't really think so. Maybe they are. Maybe I don't know for sure because I haven't taken a survey. I haven't seen any survey that really establishes it convincingly one way or the other. But I know this. The most openly racist people in the country today are black people. And often, most of the time, they're leftist black people. They've been indoctrinated with the racism of leftist progressivism and neo-Marxism, and they're unashamed to say how racist they are. They're utterly unself-aware, and they have no shame in it. Al Sharpton shouldn't say a word given his past history and his unwillingness to apologize for it. It's different to be reformed, but he ain't reformed. And he ain't apologized for all the horrid things he's been done to have found by judicial fiat to have done wrong. He ain't even paid all the people that he sued all the money he owes him yet.
Wow.
He's a classical example.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to let Joseph jump in here, too. And it's something I want to just say right fast, but you were talking about this Marxist thing. And, you know, if people look at Black Lives Matter, and you can see one of the co-founders, she don't hide it. She says that she's a trained Marxist. She openly admitted that she's a trained. She says she's a trained. Y'all heard me? A trained Marxist. So Brother Sarge is dead on point with what he's talking about. Just look it up, brother.
And I'm telling you, man, you know, Marxism is the most murderous political philosophy in the history of mankind. I'm including National Socialist Germany. I mean, by accurate count from all kinds of historical sources that I've read over and over and over again, short years from 1918 to 1989, Marxism and communists in various countries are estimated to have killed, excluding war, I'm not talking about casualties incurred in warfare conducted the way you normally conduct warfare. I'm talking about the actions of their government, either through purges, either through pogroms, either through executions, or induced famines. Marxism killed 125 million people in the 20th and 21st centuries. Now, that is a record unequaled by anything else in the history of mankind in only 80 short years. I don't know how anybody could sit up here and say I'm a proud adherent of Marxism.
Yeah, I agree.
Joe Biden hired this one numbskull named Anita Dunn. Obama hired her as a communications director. She's in the Biden administration. I don't know exactly what capacity, but she's admiring Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong killed at least 63 million Chinese through policies, induced famines. The Cultural Revolution killed 4 million people. But they still brag about being Marxists. They talk Marxist. Their language is Marxist. Everything's redistributionist. Look at this insane reparations movement in California.
Yeah.
Do you realize that in order to implement the reparations movement in California, do you know how much money they have already computed it will cost just in San Francisco? You know what the figure is? $200 billion. The discretionary budget of California is $218 billion a year. That's just in San Francisco. And let's say they were to do this same program nationwide across the United States for all the people they say would qualify under the San Francisco program, exported to the rest of the country, it would be about $150 trillion. Our entire national debt, $34 trillion.
Yes, sir. Brother Sarge, can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I'm glad you brought that up. Can you elaborate on what they're trying to do with talking about the reparation out in California? Can you elaborate on it a little bit and tell the people? We hadn't touched on that. Could you go into that a little bit, if you don't mind explaining that?
Well, I know it's limited to the land of fruit and nuts, California, where all bad things, all bad cultural trends tend to originate. But they put together a panel at both the state level. The city of San Francisco is doing its own little research into the matter. And the state of California is doing its research into the matter. And they got two different schemes, but they're pretty much the same thing. And right now, this one guy who's a reparations advocate, I saw this woman on CNN the other day, her name was Ruth Simmons. She told CNN she didn't know how San Francisco is going to pay black residents $5 million each in reparations after how it's going to be done. I said, I don't know. Those are the challenges we have as municipalities. And she's literally talking about giving black people in California more money than the entire budget of the city of San Francisco.
Hmm.
I mean, this is insane. This is insane. And then not only that, a $97,000 payment per year for 250 years to which you can give to your heirs and assigns.
Wow.
It's like these people, they're classical Marxists. They act as though, you know, everything's about material, you know, because they don't believe in spirituality. They don't believe in religion. They don't believe in higher ethics. They think man is just matter, and the only thing that matters is his so-called material needs is defined by these elites running whatever the Marxist organization has set up. You know, so, I mean, that's all this. But when it comes to the actual material, they don't particularly care about, or they don't give much thought to how it's going to be done. The logistics don't really seem to matter. All we have to do is will it to be so, and it will be done. I mean, these people are sick. They are destructive. They are lunatic, irrational, and deranged. And there are far too many in the black community willing to follow them.
Yes, sir.
It's almost incomprehensible.
Sir.
Well,
yeah,
but here
we are. To throw in there, Justin?
Yeah, I guess I could come in and, but see, I like to stay in my lane. So when people talking about things, I might take something from what they were saying, and then I'll touch on something. So I heard Sarge talking about what was going on in Chicago. I'll talk about that a little bit and a little bit about Trump. What's going on with his indictment. So the Chicago thing was something that the city of Chicago had to come down to who they were going to choose to be their mayor. After having an election a month ago, they had a good amount of candidates running, maybe a handful, five or six were running. And there were some strong candidates, and those candidates cut other candidates off, you know, as far as having the black support, then the other black candidates kind of took away from each other, ending up with the younger, vibrant black candidate and an older candidate who has been known to be a person who has been involved in closing down schools across the country as he had became the superintendent of schools in different cities. Starting in the late 90s, he began to close down schools in those cities and move on to other cities after he was ran out of different cities that he was the superintendent of, the mayor, the man that was running for mayor of Chicago named Paul Vallis was the superintendent of a school, of the schools of Philadelphia as well, back in the 90s. And they also ran him out of this city for being a bad, poor superintendent of the schools. And every place that he went, he closed down the schools. And even in Chicago, where he resides and ran for mayor, he also closed down a whole lot of schools in that city. And this white candidate, Paul Vallis, going up against the younger candidate, I can't recall his name right now, but the city seemed to galvanize around the younger candidate because of the stigma that was left behind from the last two mayors of the city of Chicago. So you had that, I can't even say the guy's name, but he was pardoned by Trump and let out, you know, of jail. And his Blagojevich. And
yeah, Blagojevich was the former governor of Illinois.
Okay, yeah, he was let out of prison. So he was a, you know, people didn't really, the people of Chicago believed that he didn't do a good job either. So based on the younger black candidate and what Lori Lightfoot left behind, which was a poor representation of what the city really needed. And so for me to have understanding of what they were going through was that they really needed to move on from Lori Lightfoot and her imagery and what, you know, she was trying to do and had done some things and had some measures, some movements for black community as far as standing up for the black community in certain situations. So people liked her for certain reasons, and some of the city that supported her last time didn't give her that support this time. So they gave their support to other candidates, and that cut her vote, and she lost her race, and which made it end up becoming a runoff, because at the end of the race, there was the two candidates there with a dead heat tie, Paul Vallis and the other brother who won. Now, this man who is the brother who's the Democrat who won,
Brandon Johnson.
He is a young man. Oh, okay. What's his name again?
I guess Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson. His name's Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson. Yeah, I've heard it several times. It just escaped me. Brandon Johnson.
Yes, sir.
He has a perfect image of what the city of Chicago needs, and he has the right ideas to get the city moving in a collective way to stamp down on the crime and stamp down on the poverty and the different issues that are plaguing the city. So,
you think so, Justice?
This young man, absolutely, because this young man
I got a clip for you when you finish.
I like it when a gentleman says he's going to do what's best for the city. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you a little about what his professed positions are. His actual.
Hold on, Sarge.
Yeah, I got a clip with him saying something to Sarge. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, so
his
image of his family is a black family. He's got a beautiful wife and a beautiful family of two children. And so he's raising his children in a positive way. And he's a positive example for a black man to want to aspire to be the mayor of the city.
That's
and a black
good.
Family who doesn't have the image of when Lori Lightfoot won the mayoral race. She came on the stage and introduced her wife to the citizens of Chicago. And I was over listening to a Chicago radio talk show last night and listening to the elders say how that they were so happy that they don't have to go through having this gay thing over them and over their city and this thing that, you know, has never been our thing that we had to just accept it. And so they were just happy that, look, we didn't have to see a man come on that stage and introduce his husband, or another woman coming on that stage introducing her wife, or something like that. They were happy that it was a black family, a man who introduced his wife, a man that represents the conglomerate of the city of Chicago. 45% of white citizens of Chicago voted for Brandon Johnson. So, yeah,
it wasn't something about race or anything.
Oh, pardon me?
It was just because he was black.
It wasn't about race so much so. It was about policy issues. Now, Brandon might have said defund the police one time, but he didn't mean it in the way in which you might think. And, of course, the city of Chicago could never want the city to have their police defunded because they need their police. Everybody knows that. So it doesn't make sense. He meant something else other than what he said, I'm sure.
No,
so you give him the benefit of the doubt.
Record.
Give him the benefit of the doubt, and that's it. Let me just touch on the Trump thing.
Sarge's going to tell you about this. Sarge's going to play with data, though. Yes, sir. Then we'll play. Yeah, it's going to be a quick one.
Okay, well, let me do the Trump thing. The Trump thing, just real quick. All right, so with Alan Bragg bringing forth these charges, 34 counts of illegal business transactions and whatnot, and coming forward with the truth of the deals. So yeah, these are classified as classified E, something like that. They call it an E. It's the lowest level of a felony offense that you can do as far as having business deals that weren't honest. So they're going to get him on those. There's no way that I've ever seen anybody face any kind of amounts of 34 charges. Now, I can just tell you, okay, right now, 34 counts of illegal transactions, or not illegal transactions, but illegally documenting things the wrong way and lying about things. So, yeah, that. So, like I say, that's a level E of offense. It's not something that is the worst. So, low-level felony. Now, what it looks like with Bragg and that doing that, and you got 34 counts. Now, like I was going at, somebody have that many counts or charges. If you want to break it in half, I'll say, okay, so you get 16. Okay, you got 16. Say he gets 16 of them thrown out. Okay, say he gets more than that thrown out. You still got 10 charges right there. Let's say you get all of them thrown out except for 7 of them. You still got to face them 7. There's still going to be a penalty for them. The penalty is what it is. Now, it's more than likely going to be financial. They already sued Trump. The city of New York just sued him and banned him from having his businesses done in New York for 5 years. And so they already punishing him. He's already been sued for $250 million by the city of New York. So, yeah, it seems like a piling on him. But he's got to face what he did with whatever the amount of felonies they end up with, because they're going to knock down some of them 34. His lawyers are going to be able to knock down some of them. So by the time he get to the ones that they're going to stick, then he got to deal with the penalty. So whatever that is, it won't bar him from running for president. Now, here's the whole point. if he get to the presidency seat, and they already did a poll. They said that if the presidency was held, the presidential race was held, and Joe Biden and Trump was facing off, then Joe Biden would win by 2%, 48 to 46. Now, they said there's a margin of error, so that's just going to determine whether how many people turn out and whatnot, because it's going to be close. Now, Trump could somehow pull it off because Republicans don't always, let's just say white folks don't always vote one party or another. They will sometimes vote in a different party. You have party loyalists who only vote in the Republican Party. And so you have white party loyalists that are Democrats as well, who only vote the Democrat ticket, just like the Republicans vote their own ticket. But then you'll have some whites that will cross the line and vote in the other way. So this may happen for Trump because of them wrecking the system right now, because if you got unemployment right now, the lowest has been in 53 years at 3.4%, and they're saying that the economy's messed up and gas is high and the war in Ukraine and all these things, and they got to mess up everything to make Joe Biden look bad. So they're going to close down Walmarts. They're going to close down Rite Aids. They're going to shut down the McDonald's and where the people in there working. They're going to put the machines in there. You have to order your food on the computer, and it come to you. The people bring it to you or whatever, come out the machine. And then they're going to close down more and more businesses to make Joe Biden look bad, because you can't change presidencies if the economy's good. So the Republican-led people, business owners that own every damn thing, are going to mess up their own businesses on purpose just to get Trump elected, to make Joe Biden look bad, to give Trump a chance to get back in office. That's what's going on right now. There ain't no reason to shut down these businesses. There ain't no reason for all of these collapsing of these businesses and layoffs and stuff. But they doing it on purpose.
The Republicans.
All right, now let me finish up.
Wow.
Let me finish up on the Trump thing.
Damn,
now,
just, you still got your Democratic card, I see. But go ahead.
It's called the truth card. I ain't on no side. I'm on the side.
Yeah, not on this one. But we're gonna get there when you
finish. I might vote for Trump this time. I'll be the first time I cross the line. Word to mother.
You ain't voting for
Trump.
That's
word to mother. I'm telling you, I don't want to vote for Biden because he might cause World War III. Trump the only chance we got right now to not have that happen. He's the only one that really can negotiate deals with these leaders in the world. He's already proven that he can do that. Joe Biden hasn't proven that he can do that, and he don't want to do that.
Under Barack Obama, or rather George Bush, the Russians seized Georgia. Under Barack Obama, they seized the Crimea. Under Donald Trump, they didn't take one inch of new territory while he was president. And all of a sudden, Brandon comes in there, and next, they're about ready to seize Ukraine all the way up to the Dnieper River.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so that's what I said. And I know what I'm talking about. Okay? So, yeah. Now.
But they ain't going to get Trump in there,
man. It's
going
to be up to the American people.
Black people ain't going
to
vote for no Trump.
It's
going to
be up to the American people. What's that?
Black people ain't voting for no damn Donald Trump. They don't give a goddamn what Joe Biden do. They going to be they Democrat loyalists. They don't give a damn.
Right. Bruh, let me tell you something. Joe Biden right now, look, everybody came out. Let me tell you something. Everybody came out because Trump had caused so much daggone stir up in America that people was tired of it. And they said, you know what? We going to register to vote.
CNN, the liberal media caused this stir up. Let me ask you something.
Whatever you want to.
And I got to play this clip. Who were the people What city was on fire under Donald Trump administration? Every damn near everywhere you saw where there was rioting and looting and tearing up cities. What was the political demographic? It was Democratic cities. So we say it was chaos and disorder.
That's not my point here. My point is why people came out and defeated Trump.
Because again, what we're looking at is because what the liberals caused this and made people sway people, especially black people, because they always made you look at because Trump's a racist. He's a racist. Don't look at the money you're getting in your pocket. Don't look at that. Look at because he hate black people. He dislike you. When black people used to love the hell out of Donald Trump before he even put the name a Republican running under Republican under his name. And that's when black people started hating him. Al Sharpton's and everything, because people listened to them damn charlatans. And they made you think that he was a racist when they used to kick it with the man at one time. They used to always kick it with him.
So you never looked at this.
But I'm telling you, brother, this was happening. Trump was not causing problems.
Hold on. You ain't let me finish the point, Nah, you know good and doggone well.
But you said
every time
they
you turn on
Trump
the radio or the phone or the TV, Trump was on the news. So the people was just tired of it. They was like, look, we need to just get rid of Trump.
Did he own CNN? He made CNN have made their ratings. But you say every time you turned on the news, it was Donald Trump was on there because he was making good ratings.
Okay, look, I'm trying to go forward from that. We all know that. Now, here's the thing.
Go ahead. I'm going to shut up.
80-something million people voted for Joe Biden. 70-something million people voted for Trump. Now, the only reason that 80-something people voted for Biden is because it wasn't because they love Biden at all. I ain't vote for Biden because I like Biden at all, and you already know that. I just voted for a doggone man to get rid of Trump, and everybody did the same thing.
We were just trying to get rid of Trump. Can you say that
now
again,
we want Trump back. Some of us we realize, you know what, he might can save everything from a nuclear war and everything. He's the only one can sit with Joe Biden.
Why did you vote for Biden again?
Just to get rid of Trump. Everybody did it. Everybody did the same thing. We ain't like Biden. I wanted Bernie Sanders to be the president. Hillary Clinton to be the president.
Sarge, you hear that, Sarge? See, this is what we're saying again. And I got to hear him play this clip right fast. I know Sarge got to get in here. But you get what you get. See, this is the problem. This is why we say that. And a white man asked me, we were talking before, and I told him, I'm going to say this, y'all. I ain't no hold no punch. I said, most black people, we are political illiterate. We don't understand about policies. We don't vote policies. We don't vote our interests. And you just say the same thing. The reason that they voted to get the man out of there. Now, despite what the hell he might have been doing good, y'all looking at good because he was talking reckless and whatever he was saying. His demeanor when he was saying wasn't about policies. You vote for a person because of policies. And now y'all see the policy that you're getting out of the fight. Now you want to say, oh, damn.
I guarantee you.
But the whole point, why? You're supposed to have been voting, brother.
Arya, listen, one second.
And your family pocket, not because you dislike what Trump was saying. So
forget about all that. I guarantee you right now, it ain't no way 80-something million people coming back out for Joe Biden
brother. It's too late.
It don't matter whether it's too late or not. The point of the matter is, if those 80-something million don't turn up, Trump could win.
How about all of y'all that people that voted for him? You go bankrupt right fucking tomorrow. Look how many lives have been because of the policy that Joe Biden wins and loses
elections all the time, man. That's just part of life. You don't win
for 4 years, brother.
He's a one-term, two-time.
Y'all wanted Trump out because of the shit he said. This is what I'm saying. Look at the policies and how people have been affected. the lies have been affected for four fucking years. We're going on 4 years.
The man is a one-term, two-time impeached president. Two-times impeached, man.
So
come
if you
on.
Go broke
blind,
poor, that's your fucking fault because of what you voted for. Because you didn't
nah,
like what a man
you
want to
you want a criminal.
Promises.
You want. All right, look.
We
know his game better now. I ain't know he was, you know.
But let me play Brandon right fast. This is a question that was asked about him.
On multiple occasions, you've spoken on the topic of defunding police. In 2020, you said, quote, defunding this failed system of incarceration and policing was not just admirable, but necessary, end quote. During a town hall called Police Free Future, you commended defund organizers for, quote, an agenda that actually can trim people's lives and, said, quote, removing ourselves away from state-sponsored policing. That is commendable. As far as redirecting funds, if we look at your record, you introduced a resolution and passed it with the support of others to redirect money from the sheriff's office to other areas. So first, this is a multi-part question. The first is just a yes or no. Do you acknowledge making those recorded and documented statements, yes or no?
I'm not going to defund the police.
If you could answer the question, though.
Yeah.
Do you acknowledge making the statements that I just read by quote, yes or no?
What I've acknowledged is the fact that there are people who are incredibly frustrated.
Mr. Johnson, if I could get you back to the question,
yeah, of course.
It solely yes or no? Do you acknowledge making those statements?
Look. You've already quoted. What I'm saying is, though,
so
is that it provides
those
some
statement.
Of course, I'm acknowledging
okay.
it, but I want
to
make sure that we have
the
context
to answer
that.
The question. But I just want to move on to the next part of it.
Yeah. So you see that you heard that. Okay. Guy doesn't really want to answer.
See, like it is democratic gymnastics. Don't answer the question. Don't answer like my grandmother said. Answer the question, witness. She asked you yes or no, but he didn't want to do that. And that is on record where he had a thing where he did say it. But go ahead, Sarge, because I know you're going to elaborate it on it even more.
I know, they never do. I mean, they'll make these statements, and then when you confront them with them, because they know you're going to ask them in depth about them, then they run away from like scalded dogs. It's the most amazing facility of Democrat politicians that I've ever seen of anything in my life. And he's a classic example of it. Let me give an example of what he said here. First of all, he wants illegal aliens to be able to vote in Chicago elections. He's going to propose this to the city council and try to get the city council to enable illegal aliens and even lawfully resident aliens and illegal aliens, because there will be no test of lawful residency, just the fact that you have residency. As long as you get residency in Chicago, you don't even have to show you're a citizen. You're going to be able to vote, according to Mr. Johnson.
That's got to be passed by city council, brother, or what they call it, whatever they call it.
I didn't say that. I said he's going to propose it to the city council.
But that don't mean it's going
to
pass.
The fact that he wants to have it done is a reason for me not to have him in office. The fact that But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. He's also said that we don't call police. You know, he praised the idea of agendas that can transform people's lives by not calling police and having social workers answer some of the most dangerous calls there are to answer, domestic disturbance calls. He said, and part of it is removing ourselves away from this, you know, state-sponsored policing, but also the tools that have been placed against black folks that have been used violently, whether it's policing or administering standardized tests around how white supremacy finds its way in every facet of our lives, that we have to fight and resist that. Standardized testing? Really? Say that, do you worry about stores leaving Chicago and the county because they don't think it's safe? And it's not just stores. It's McDonald's. It's the Boeing Corporation. It's major institutions that employ thousands of people. That's who's leaving. And this was his answer. He said that, this is a quote, these companies have insurance and assurance. You can't take a certain level of urgency to protect capital and the wealthy and not have that same tenacity to provide relief for families that have been devastated through structural racism for generations. Then he goes on to say, We have to redirect dollars away from a failed racist system and move it into the hands of people who really are trying the very best to survive day to day. And if we can't do that as a government, we are failing to meet the moment. To continue to criminalize people and to chastise folks for being poor is tired and it's old. We actually need a new direction that really calls for massive investments in neighborhood. All this boilerplate language is meant to conceal the idea that he wants to redistribute wealth, he wants to defund the police, that he wants to drive away business, and he wants to create a feudal system that will not empower black people in the least.
That's right. I bet you he'd do a way better job than Lori Lightfoot did.
How's that?
I don't think he will. I think it'd be worse. I think he's worse.
Lori Lightfoot is
incompetent, corrupt, racist dummy. This guy has got a bit of intelligence. He's more Lenin-esque.
Whatever you want to say, it don't make sense because the man is a young man with ideas that are fresh. Now, it might sound strange to you,
but
they're trying to do things. Listen, they're trying to do things differently now instead of doing the same old thing and getting the same results. So they're saying we're going to have more sensitivity towards our black citizens and not come out with the cops blazing and kill the young man in the park with a little water gun or whatever he had. Just got out and started shooting and killed him. So the city is like, you know, on edge about stuff. We don't want this no more. We want somebody to come out who have a heart, who have understanding that some of our children have mental illnesses and stuff and have the different situations. We need you to recognize this instead of looking at us all like we animals and shit. You understand? Yeah. That's the problem.
Do you think most black
people are afraid
of being shot
to death
by the police, or they'd be afraid of being shot to death by some criminal who's been let out on a no-bail system, which you think actually inspires more fear in black people? I think I'm certain I know what
the answer is. No. You don't even live nowhere near a black community, so you don't know what you're talking about.
And Sarge, they
well,
doing
I was
the
a police
same,
officer
they
in Chicago for 23 years,
here,
so I think I got a pretty good idea.
So, yeah,
Sarge,
you got you on the wrong side of the fence.
They're doing the same
I actually dealt with people, recidivist criminals, not ordinary black people, because recidivist criminals are not ordinary black people. Most black people are not criminals. Mm-hmm. The ones who you arrest over and over and over and over and over over again for the same or similar crimes are not normal. They're not regular black people.
Mm. And,
that's what
would
be protected under Lori Lightfoot and Kim Fox.
The whole thing is he's the mayor.
Getting these people out, brother. It's just like what's going on in this city right now. Now, we know these juveniles, but they let these juveniles out of juvenile. They're doing crimes. And they are, brother, don't you know they out committing crimes with ankle bracelets on. They sit out here robbing, stealing, and carjacking and with ankle bracelets on. And in this city, they doing just what they said. They had this thing. I need to pull it up, right? But even what y'all mentioned about illegal thing, it says Washington D.C. There was an article that came back in February. Washington D.C. City Council say bill for allowing non citizens to vote is now law, according to a report. You understand? Washington D.C. City Council say the bill for allowing non citizens to vote is now the law. So remember now, this is what Trump was telling y'all about when they was letting me why they were letting these illegal citizens in, because it was numbers. It was all about goddamn votes. It wasn't about doing the right thing. It was about numbers and getting the votes. But going back though, they had here in this city, it was a guy, he went to a hookah bar, and they spoke to a hookah thing, but that was what the hell they supposed to be. They went up and shot up the bar and shot like five people in the bar. They charged them. I think one person died. I can't recall right now. But the guys were charged with five counts of attempted first-degree murder. They gave them this new goddamn Black Lives Matter puppet here in this city, Democratic mayor, whatever his name, just got elected. District attorney. He let those guys out on a $250,000 bond. They had to pay $2,000 to get out on five counts of the first murder. They freed right now. So this is the shit that they are doing. Remember, Black Lives Matter was talking about this shit about a cashless getting rid of bonds. I had these articles somewhere on here and bringing them up. But I'm paying no bonds, letting people out on bonds. on. And it's kind of like something what they're doing here, and it's explaining, but it was something that they go about however your pocket, if you kind of like poor or degenerate, you don't really have any money or something like that, they go by your finances to let you out. You go out here and kill up, like I said, damage five people and get your ass out on a $2,000 bond. And that way you can go out here and kill somebody else. That other guy, he went out, they arrested him, his girlfriend or something, called the police on him, and he was trying to, he had said he murdered her. They arrested him. You said he was going to kill her. They arrested him on a sort of assault. He got right out in a couple of hours, and don't you know, he went directly from the jail straight to her house, and he killed her. Killed her. After she called the police and told him he was threatening to kill her, they let him right on out, and he didn't go home. He didn't go to the McDonald's, goddamn it, Kroger's, nowhere. He went straight to her house, and he murdered her straight over there. But, hey, but this is what the shit that the Democrats want now. This is what the way they want. And just as that damn dude, man, he is talking about, and what he's trying to do, that's the thing. I was watching a television series called The Shy. And what he's talking about, they got this from Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter talk about the same shit. And they had that in the movie, the television show Shy series. They funding the police. They had, like you said, Brother Sarge was saying, they had counselors go out there and try to handle the situation. And that's it. Now, the television show, and that didn't work. But you, come on, bro. A counselor? Man, come on, bro. Come on.
The whole point of the matter is, they not coming out there. Oh, I was going to. I text you a message.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not
I
coming out.
I think it's his internet because I hear Charles kind of doing it too. So I don't know. It might be this internet thing going on. Well, you're good. Good. Okay. You good? I'm gonna get on my Bluetooth and see what go on.
The whole thing about it is to when they come out there. They are giving some information at first about the person, like, yeah, this guy has a certain, condition. And so when they come out there, they're already expecting, like, okay, he's this way or that way, and we're going to deal with it however, you know, we got to deal with it. So the thing is, they still have, you know, some weapons and stuff and mace and whatnot or you know, something like a stun gun or something if they need to use it. And the point of the matter is to defuse the situation at first. Now, if they have to take him into custody, they still have the authority to do that. So the whole thing is to first try a diplomatic measure instead of coming out and he has a knife or he has, let's say he's got his chair up. Somebody got killed when he had an iron in their hand. Somebody raised a chair up over their head and was shot to death. They raised a chair up over the head. Like, okay, how could somebody kill somebody when they raise up a chair over their head and they ain't even close to nobody? So anyway, they killed him. Another man, they came to the house and he had an iron in the house. He's, you know, had a mental condition, and his mother called the cops, and he had the iron in his hand when the cops came, and the lady said, well, put the iron down. He wouldn't put the iron down, and she says that he kind of leaned toward her with the iron, and she shot him to death. Another man had a knife in the street last year, a year before here in Philly, and they called the cops to come. You know, this boy had a knife, and he had a mental condition. And he just wielding the knife, and they said, put it down. He wouldn't put it down, so they just shot him. So, yeah, the whole thing is to try something different and to have this kind of people who are trained, who have understanding of people's mental illnesses and mental conditions that they may have when they arrive, and to know how to deal with it with the training that they have received. So if certain parts of the training that they are able to get this person calm and to make them relax and to drop the weapon or to stop behaving in such a way where they can come out and talk to him in a nice way, or, you know, and it's in a way where he is kind to him, where it doesn't seem like a threat. and he can, he's like, okay, they on my side in his head, because he's got a whole way of, you know, there's something going on up there. So if you can somehow break, make a breakthrough to him and then get him to calm down, you still might have to take him to get some medicine or to make sure, you know, he needs to be evaluated or whatever, and go ahead and do that instead of, oh, well, we get to the scene, he's acting all crazy, he's acting wild, he picked up a chair and all that, and we just shot him, and some people hardly doing anything. They just getting shot because this stupid asshole has a gun on their hip, and they're punk-ass punk, and they don't know how to do anything but shoot somebody because they're weak, and they don't know how to do nothing else. Instead of, like me, I would fight. Like, that's the last thing I would do is pull out my gun if I'm a cop. Like, if especially if a person only had a stick or even an iron or a chair, you know, I'd kick his ass. Like, I wouldn't even be scared to even try to kick his ass without pulling a gun, a billy stick, or pull out some mace or anything. I'd be so courageous to just go up there and smack him up and cuff him up and take him away. But these punk ass cops today don't have that kind of courage. Cops back in the day, some of them did have that kind of courage, but most of these cops today are just punks, and they weak, and they just looking for something or some reason to shoot somebody. So yeah, that's why the young mayor is trying to do something different to show an example of how we don't need to treat our people the same way the people been treating them, and to look at ourselves with love and care instead of with hate and disdain. When you see somebody and their hair is all out and they got a knife or they got an iron or a damn chair or they got a rock in their hand or something, and you got to kill him because he got a rock in his hand. He picked up a brick. You're going to kill him. You can't shoot his foot.
As a matter of fact, last year, the police killed two people. In 2022, in 2021, they killed 9, and in 2023 thus far, they've killed 2. Chicago's had 735 homicides last year. I don't think the police are that big a problem. I just don't.
Not more than the black people. Hey, we got a new call on the line as well. Joe, please welcome to Culture Freedom Radio. You got Joe on the line. Please welcome in.
Am I unmuted?
You're live on now. We can hear you.
All right. When I saw the marquee, what I thought was the conversation was about was going to be about the New World Order of globalists. But when I got here and I listened on the line, and I was hearing about the problem between the black community and the cops. So
you can talk about that. It's about all of it. You can go ahead and talk about the New World Order. Yeah, that's included too.
Hey, Joe, move your hand from your phone's mic. You sound muffled or something, like talking to your mic clearly.
Yeah, the mic's right up to my lips. So I moved it a little bit.
All right,
this.
I don't know. How you guys think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something going on with this system because it's all going on the system. Because I'm not even on my phone anymore. Everybody kind of choppy, so it might be something with this system.
Yeah, I'm hearing everybody also. Being choppy. So this time it may not be my phone. Usually it's my app, but this time it may not be. But since you guys do talk about the
One last thing. Turn the volume up on your phone. Let me try that. Turn your volume up.
That I can do. Let's see if that works. Because I'm at the volume now where you guys are coming in nicely. Let's see. Okay, can you hear me better? So.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Still can hear me?
Yeah, so we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. So, again, to me, the problems that are surrounding the entire world is stemming from globalists, primarily the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, et cetera. But I don't want to take you guys too far off topic because
hey,
we can use a derivative from the Rockefeller.
Huh? I said you're on topic. That's good.
All right. So when we have a division between the genders, the races, economics, et cetera, it's part of a plan, which if you guys have talked about the globalists before, you're familiar with it. get every country, and in particular the United States, this is the crown jewel, to have division amongst every and all lines. Right now, I'll bet in the next year or two, there's going to be propaganda about if you don't date a transgender, something's wrong with you. So
that's going to be part of the plan too.
You think I'm crazy? I'm not. I'm just predicting it. I'm not. I don't have any evidence to back it up. But I'm just saying when you
sound like Newey Fuller Jr.
You know what I mean? Where the way everything is going. So you guys were talking about a serious topic about cops versus the black community. Now, as the caller was saying, I don't know the stats, but apparently he did. So, yeah, to me, cops are a problem no matter what. But I don't think that if a person who, even if they're demented, they have a chair in their hand, a stick, a rock, one of your hosts, co-hosts, was saying they would just charge in. I think after about 20 times throughout your career of charging in, the people who've got chairs over their head and the rocks and the sticks, you might not be charging in that often anymore because you're assuming that you can just take them down and bang.
Go ahead, Joe. Keep going. I was just going to say something, but go ahead.
Okay. I think everybody knows if you're mentally ill, you've got a little bit more strength than the average person at the time when the adrenaline is flowing through your body. So, you know, I think it's nice. It's a nice idea that all you got to do is just take them down by rushing them. And if two or three cops can grab one person, that's one thing. But even then, they have a problem. But me personally, if I see somebody in my neighborhood with a rock, mentally ill, out there in the middle of the street, or a chair or a stick, I don't care for social services to come out there and spend an hour, 2 hours trying to calm somebody down when that same person can throw the rock, throw the stick, grab the chair, grab a passerby, grab something else which is there, and remain dangerous. There are a lot of unjustifiable killings for sure. I wish more people would just carry guns. But that's all I have to say for now.
You know, Joe, if somebody had a knife and there were people coming out there to talk to the person and say, look, man, put that knife down, or why do you have that knife, or, you know, like, don't you want to do something else? Like, you know, just start talking to him and everything and figure it out. Now, he might, if he starts wielding it, of course, I'm saying, okay, you have to defend yourself. And without killing this person to the best of your ability, because he only has this knife, like, try to disarm this person. So I would start with my billy club, more than likely. Now, my other teammate might want to use my other, what do you call it, co-worker, whatever they are, cop people.
Your colleague.
Yeah, jerk off, use the mace. And so he might, or she might want to do that. So now we got the upper hand here. His eyes is messed up and he's coughing and whatnot. I hit him a few times in his legs and hit him in the gut and got him down on the ground. We got the cuff on him or whatever like that. And we take him and put him in the car. That's it. Now, I've seen people negotiate for hours with a white man who had a gun or a machine gun or a whole lot of stuff, taking people hostage, whatever. They had to talk all day and all night until that man decided to let everybody go and come out the house with his hands up and everything else. So you could take 5 or 6 hours with a white dude who's got a whole gun and don't kill him when you have every opportunity to, then he's definitely a threat. Definitely a threat. Right now with the gun, you don't even kill him. You let him hold on to the gun. You're telling him, look, you know, let it go, drop it, whatever, and he ain't drop it, and you ain't kill him. But you're still talking to him. And 3 hours later, he getting tired and hungry, and you tell him, look, we're going to get you some pizza and everything, you pop the gun, it ain't going to be that bad. It ain't going to go hard on you. And you get out, you know, and you won't have to go to jail for long or whatever it is. So they tell him all this good stuff, he feels better about himself, and they take him into custody. The black dude with the goddamn big-ass gun, ain't no negotiating at all. Ain't nobody setting up to talk to him at all. He's a threat automatically. Why? Because he's black. Because he's intimidating you because you're scared. Why weren't you scared of the white dude? He had a bigger gun. He had a big-ass M16 and all this stuff. But the black dude got, you know, basic 12-gauge shotgun or something. You know, yeah. He ain't pointing it at nobody either. Just like the white dude wasn't really pointing it. Black dude not really pointing it, but, oh, they came out to the scene. He got the gun. Put the gun down. The dude got the right to hold the gun. Put the gun down. He's like, what? He gave him a chance. They ain't even give him a chance to even consider putting the gun down. Pow, 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 pow. He's a goner. He didn't even have a shot at a negotiation. So, yeah.
Okay,
let's
protocol,
do things, whatever you
dealing. The barricaded suspect is always the same. As long as they're not an imminent threat to others, an imminent deadly threat to others, whether the suspect is black or white, because I have 19 years as a police officer working mostly in Chicago and Cook County, as a state policeman, I am telling you it's the same. When you're talking about an unconfined suspect or subject, who is in an imminent attack upon you at close quarters, the protocol is also different, and it is based on the use of force continuum that the National Institute of Justice developed that has been adopted by almost every police force in the United States. Been there, done that, I don't know how many times. On the street, up on angel dust, and I got to deal with them hand to bloody hand. I don't know how many times. They're on a warrant. They don't want to go to jail. They tell you they ain't going to jail. But I never killed anybody because I pumped iron, too. I was swole, brother. You better believe I was swole. I was strong. I could do almost 400 pounds in a bench press. And believe me, I've had trouble with young women amped up on dust who weighed 120 pounds, and they gave me a handful getting into a squad car.
So word. I hear you, Brother Starr.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is these things are infinitely variable, and for you to say there's only one way to deal with this situation, one way or another, is simply not true. Everything
right.
is circumstance-dependent and depends upon the circumstances in which you are at the moment in that time, and they are variable infinitely.
I got you, and you know what? I respect you, and, you know, you were doing your thing for several years and everything, and so, like, I would have been the type of cop.
I never
cop,
killed
like,
anybody. I never shot
That's
anybody.
My whole point. Listen, man, that's my whole point. Like for me, like, to say that about having the courage to not be afraid of a man wielding a knife or a chair or anything else, like, just to have courage. Like, I already got weapons and stuff on me. So, yeah, I don't want to kill nobody. That was my whole point. To make a statement, like, I would do anything with my bare hands first. Now, okay, yeah, if he's giving me a whole,
I can see your
whole
point.
Problem, I'm going to do what Sarge is going to do. But I'm not going to kill the man. I'm going to do everything I can do. Like, I'm strong right now. I'm tough still. I ain't lost nothing. I'm only gotten better and stronger. So, yeah, and even back then, I was strong. So
yeah, but
now I'm still, I'm even stronger now than I ever was.
Kill,
so, yeah.
When that need for killing is justified and you're not prepared to do it in order to either save your life, the life of another, or your colleague, then you should not be a police officer.
And I agree with you. And that's my whole point. Like, you never had to kill nobody. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, had you had to kill somebody,
the thing is, when you or your co-host makes a comparison between somebody or a bunch of people inside a house versus somebody in the street or versus cops inside the house trying to detain somebody who's got a chair over the head or a stick or a stone, those are two completely different situations. You can take a look at Waco and Ruby Ridge, and the cops got vilified because they put the house on fire. You can put a bunch of blacks, Asians, whites inside a house and the hostage situation, which will last for hours, would still be the same no matter what nationality would be inside that house. Because being inside a house, I mean, for them to be inside a house with hostages is way different than cops going into a house where there's a suspect with a chair or a stick or a gun. Way different. So like I said, those cops got vilified in Waco, at Ruby Ridge, and if there were blacks inside the house or Asians who had hostages, and the cops burned down the house, those cops would be vilified. And I don't know if the cops of Waco were arraigned for anything, but I think there was they ran out of patience, and all of a sudden they started pumping fire into the house where there were hostages. Now that to me I don't like. You gotta continue the hostage, even if it takes more hours to try to save 5, 6, 7.
See, hold on, Joe. See, Joe, stop it.
Okay.
Wait a second. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Ain't no daggone way, no day, you gonna let a black dude hold up something for 30 days. These Wacos was holding that thing up for 30 days. Okay, and they was negotiating.
How long did that siege take? It took about 3.5 weeks. Philadelphia, the whole situation. Before, Wilson Good ordered the bomb dropped on the bunker, they were negotiating with them for weeks.
Mm-hmm. And just for
now,
that
I didn't even know about.
For a matter of
fact, look it up. Move. Capital M, capital O, capital
know,
B, capital
I know,
E. Move.
I know
all about
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I know.
It's an amazing story.
I know all about.
I heard about it, and I read an article about it, but I didn't know that there were negotiations that were going on for that prolonged period of time. I thought
no,
it was
negotiations
like
were endless.
One day.
They had to evacuate people out
that.
Of there. They couldn't go to their homes because the police are negotiating trying to get these crazy people to come out.
And just as, for a matter of fact, it was a black guy just the other day. He just shot two police officers, and they shot him, but they didn't kill him, though. Yeah, here in this city. So, yeah, they don't always kill.
Another thing I forgot.
They don't always kill black people. But go ahead.
There's one thing I forgot to say. There's a video, I don't know if it's still up on YouTube, which shows that you can have a knife, okay? You can be something like 10 feet, 12 feet away. You're the assailant with the knife. You can be a cop with your gun on your holster, and you say, okay, go. And you
take out
the holster and shoot the guy with the knife. But the guy with the knife can get there and stab the cop before the cop can take out the gun. It's that fast. So a guy with a knife, even though you've heard the expression, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, you'd be surprised how fast some people are with knives trying to stab you.
That's right. That's right. And I want to play this quick clip right fast. When we were talking about earlier Obama and Trump right fast, before I forget, get out of here. There's something we were talking about, corruption. They trying to get on Trump about corruption. Oh, and by the way, what they're not telling, I've seen on Twitter, that they were showing even with the woman, what's her name, Stormy Daniels, and she's actually was sued by Trump as well for defamation, and so she's supposed to have been paying Trump some money. But damn, why CNN and them ain't talking about that shit? Why these liberal news ain't talking about how they got to pay him back for court fees and stuff that he sued them for defamation and won? But they talk about he paid them, but they ain't talking about that one. I wonder why. But here's a little something about let's show something about Obama.
Creo taking the witness stand yesterday. Testifying in the money laundering case against former Fuji's
Can y'all hear that one? I got to make sure that I don't know his audio acting. Fuji.
Yeah,
can
sounds
hear that
nice.
All right, here we go.
Yes.
Let's try again.
DiCaprio taking
it's
the
choppy,
witness stand
it's
yesterday.
It's
testifying in the money laundering case against former Fuji's rapper, Praz Michelle. Michelle is accused of helping to funnel millions of dollars to Barack Obama and his 2012 presidential election campaign. With the help of a Wolf of Wall Street financier and Malaysian billionaire, Joe Lowe, DiCaprio, who is not accused of any wrongdoing in the case, told the courtroom Michelle planned to donate up to $30 million to the Democrat Party. Mark, no wonder nobody's covering this and the Trump story is all over the place. Let's look over here, not over there.
A little sleight of hand magic trick, right? Look, I think it's pretty obvious that the Dems are willing to take money from anyone. I mean, look at all the SBF funds that went their way.
DiCaprio.
Oh, okay. We just wanted to play that because, again, you know, they were talking about Trump had secret documents in his home. But, oh, I be god dog. Biden, they found some in his house. And then they found some in old Penn's house, too. But, oh, shh.
Yep.
Be quiet, y'all. Don't talk about that. Don't say nothing out. Don't say it out loud. I be damn. Barack Obama getting money, funding it through the rapper. Used to be with the Fugees. I be damned. So you, like I said, that what
that
they say,
Fuji,
man.
That Fuji loved Obama. It wasn't that Obama had
right.
nothing to do with it.
And see, again, this is what are we trying to tell people, brothers and sisters. Whether you like how Trump talk and all this shit, it don't make no difference to me. I don't give a damn how Trump was up there, what he was saying, you know, what he was saying. I look at what the man was trying to, what he was actually trying to tell you as the American people what was going on. Number one, Trump hung out with all them goddamn crooks, so he know what the crooked shit they was capable of doing. And Trump was trying to let you know to the American people what they were up to and what they were doing, the Hillary. That's why he said when Epstein got killed, what did he say? The Clintons did that. The Clintons had him killed. Because why? He was going to tell it on their ass. So Trump was trying to let you American people know the crooked game that these people are playing. But see, y'all always look at, oh, man, I don't like the way he talk. I don't like the way he do that. The hell with how he talk. He's trying to let you know what they're trying to do to you and how they're trying to destroy, you know, the American, the government and this economy and all the other shit. Like Brother Joe was saying, I bring you into all this globalist stuff. That's why when he started talking about nationalism, first thing what black people start thinking, the Democrats had black people thinking. So he's talking nationalism. He talked about racism, white supremacy. That's the Klan talk. No, now he was telling you about keeping America first. America first. Not giving shit to China. Not giving stuff to over here, over there. He was talking about America first. But they had your playing the game with nationalism as though he talking some secret Klan's language. Damn, that's how they play black people again. That's why y'all voted for Joe Biden in record
numbers. Can we kind of speak about the objective record? Because everybody wants to focus on Trump's personality, and I get
Go
that.
Ahead.
That's not inconsequential. We should
Take
talk
this,
about it. But how about talking a little bit more about this? Almost a 4% GDP growth for the last 3 years of his presidency. Almost 4%. We had under 2% inflation, under $2 a gallon gas. We had lower personal income taxes. We had a secure border. We had Middle East peace accords with nations that heretofore had never signed peace agreements with the state of Israel. We had no Russian incursion in any new territory while Donald Trump was president. The Russians made a move every single time. We had all of these things, that, and to say nothing of the withdrawing us from the abominable Paris Climate Accords, which were business and job killing. The fact that the man got us into tariff and trade deals that would rectify this horrid trade imbalance between China and the United States. This is all a matter of objective record. This is not something you can say, well, this could be that or that could be that. 4% GDP growth is 4% GDP growth. 2% inflation, under 2% inflation, is under 2% inflation. $1.80 a gallon gasoline is $1.80 gasoline. There's no way to fudge it. And Donald Trump had all of this while he was president, and it's like it doesn't even matter. What have we got now under this fool and his horrid administration? Everything is reversed. Everything.
All right.
And
you
we're
know,
also on the verge. Wait a minute. Here's one more thing that y'all better start paying attention to. The United States right now, the United States dollar is about to no longer be the world's reserve currency. The BRICS nations, that's Brazil,
that's right.
Russia, India, China, and South America, which collectively make up the biggest economy in the world, are about to come up with their own currency because, one, they see the formerly relatively stable United States dollar as being out of control inflation-wise, and number two, people like these stupid idiots, these utterly incompetent fools in this administration use sanctions as punishment against people who don't do the kind of things that they see is in their interest that they want to punish and employ the sanctions against. So they say, we're not going to have that anymore. We're going to make our own currency. And you better believe when they institute their own currency, then the United States is no longer the world's reserve currency. All of those dollars are coming back to the United States. Guess what? You think inflation is bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Our standard of living, whatever it is now, is going to drop precipitously. And you better start paying attention to this.
Yes, sir.
It's part of the plan. The whole plan is to go away from having currency and to have everything digitalized and withdraw your money
That's
and have a chip in your hand and to get your money and everybody know how
guarantee the Russians are not going to be as vulnerable to it as we are. You know why? Because they actually, like the United States once upon a time, was the kind of country that would sell commodities, things people wanted to buy, things like refrigerators and automobiles and gas stoves and cars and television sets and radios. That's what Russian economy is based on. It's not on managers and swap derivative payments. It's based on actual things that people wish to buy. That's why our sanctions didn't hurt the Russians hardly at all when they invaded Ukraine, because they actually sell and make things. That's what their economy is based on. That's not what I'm based on. It's based on how people move around ones and O's and digits in some computerized bank account somewhere.
And the overall
and
reason
Brandon,
is called
this fool Brandon in the White House, this hollow man with no soul, this man is being manipulated by all those people around him from the Obama administration, like Valerie Jarrett and Susan Wright and Rahm Emanuel and all the rest of them. This guy who just manipulated and moved around, he doesn't got no soul. He's got no real belief system. All he's worried about is whether or not they'll allow him to continue his corrupt grip. As long as they let him continue his corrupt grip, he doesn't care what ideological viewpoint that he has to espouse. He'll say anything they put in front of him.
Hey, sir, you can say anything you want. In the Constitution, it says no man is above the law. So, yeah, even Trump got to face what he did. So, yeah, you seem real upset.
You
need
when he has to do what he did in Ukraine with that prosecutor who's looking into his son. And when we got to do with all the Chinese forgivable loans of $5 million that his family got. And the 150 suspicious activity reports that the Treasury Department reported were going to bank accounts controlled by his son, by Joe Biden, and his business associates. Get back to me when Joe Biden is held responsible for all of these things.
That's right.
I don't think it's going to happen as long as Raps are in charge of the Department of Justice.
And even though his crimes have been in the mainstream media, especially Hunter's, it's been confirmed now that what's on Hunter's laptop and the allegations that the Biden family were receiving monies from China did actually go to the Biden family. Even though it's in the mainstream media, nothing's being done about it. So the whole thing is that there's corruption around the place.
They're all corrupt.
Yeah, but an administrative keeping crime, oh, Lord, and Katie, bar the door. Let's just call out the fire department. An administrative bookkeeping crime, for God's sake. Hey, we got to do something about that right away. Because, you know, when you go down the street late at night, you're looking over your shoulder, looking for some accountant ready to knock you over the head and give you a ledger.
Greed is running everything. People being so greedy. These corporations and the capitalism that's happening is causing all of these problems. The rent, they make it impossible for you to live.
If you're going to leave the corporations with the politicians, yes. If you're going to say that the rich have become rich because they stole from the poor, I'm going to have to disagree with that.
I'm not going to disagree because look at how many billions and billions of dollars they have and don't share with the people back. I mean, they got enough billions of dollars to fix everything. Okay, Mark Zuckerberg got $121 billion. Elon Musk got $130 billion. All right, they got enough money to fix everything.
Doesn't have any money.
My man, if them dudes took $20 billion a piece and did something for homeless people and fix everything across the country and give everybody a clean slate and a new start and a new beginning to America to fix everything, they got enough money to fix everything and they hoarding the cash and don't have a heart in their chest to care about nobody. Look how high they got the rents. Look how high the rents have been. They done put people out on the street in California, people homeless all up and down California because they can't afford to live.
How many people do you employ?
If they're hoarding the money, where do people get money to
pay? Hey, Sarge, let Joe talk.
Yeah, because his mic is a little bit lower than ours.
When they employ tens to hundreds of thousands of people, just I think Amazon alone employs over 100,000 people.
Joe, move your hand from the mic, man. Come on. You can't hardly hear you.
You're kind of muffled.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm gonna raise the volume again. Okay, it's not the mic. So
no, just talk louder and speak right into the phone. Move your hand from the mic.
Yeah, I am.
You rest your finger right on underneath that mic.
No, it's not. Okay, I would know. It's not.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
How's this?
Okay. Make your point.
So when you're employing 100,000 people, that to me is a hell of a lot better for the economy and for America in general than what the government's been doing, especially in the last 100 years. Okay, so when you're employed, you've got money coming in, you're paying for your family, and you have the choices to choose which neighborhoods, schools, et cetera, that you want to live into because you've got money coming in. That's due to a rich person who got the companies up and running. All right? Tell me what the government has done for the American people. Tell me.
Crickets.
Let me ask you a question. Where do banks get the money to loan to people who want to start up business, small businesses, who want to get college scholarships and student loans and all of that? They get it from depositors, deposit money in the bank. And also, the Federal Reserve prints money for the banks based upon what they say they're going to need to cover their assets in a particular day or whatever. It's a weird system, but the short and long of it is that the banks are in the business to provide money to others so they can make a buck on it through interest, and also supposedly to invest in money that's good for the people who invest money in the bank. I'm trying to understand how it is that, you know, poor people somehow are being stolen from. I mean, you might say, yeah, they're not sharing the money that they got with them. How are you stealing money from somebody that doesn't have any?
That's right.
It's people laying all out in the street over here, all right? They laying in tents and on the sidewalk. Look, they can go down there and they can build a whole town of what you call those sheds with a window in it and let people live in there and have a clean little place to live and sleep instead of living all on the street. Because when people with billions of dollars, if I had billions, I could put together thousands of sheds that somebody go lay down and live in. They living on the street. Okay, you got billions of dollars. You're not doing nothing for nobody.
Aliens into the country since he's been president. Now we
ain't worried about you.
Got to
look. People
got to
live. That's what's wrong with the world, Joe.
He is allowing to come into the United States. Do we have any money left over for our own homeless people?
Yo, we got plenty enough money. You keep sending all the money to Ukraine. You got all the money you need. You just ain't put it in the right places. Okay, that's why my gas is so high. That's why my gas is so high.
You're right.
You can't put a war in Ukraine.
That's the less likely that is to be. The longer Joe Biden stays in office,
the
less likely that is to be.
Nothing.
Right. So you're making my point. You're saying all of this can be done to build up shanty shed houses. Well, how come they haven't done it? Do you know the American government is paying people to be homeless? They are paying some homeless people.
I don't know about that, Joe.
People
laying out here on the street. They living on the street.
California.
Okay. They ain't got no address to get a check to come to their house or something. You got to have an address to get something mailed to you.
Some of them are being paid $200 a month to remain homeless. You can look.
$200 ain't gonna do nothing for you, okay?
Brother,
you can't do nothing these days.
I was just at the homeless shelter this weekend. There was people who were in a homeless shelter that get checks. They do.
That's right.
California were paying people, putting people in hotels and stuff, and it were homeless. Man, so that that's not true. And just one quick thing about you mentioned like Zuckerberg them, because they got millions of dollars and they ought to be like giving their money away. And I'm just thinking about this as you're saying this. We look at the people who's making money, and even like Amazon, I forget the guy whose name Amazon. Okay, just because they making billions, you think about it though, they have family, and they still have to leave money for their families even when they're passed on. They want something for their families to still have money. Just because you make money don't mean you're supposed to just give it all away. Yes, you can help people along the way. Number one, they're giving people, they're creating job opportunities. Like Zuckerberg, right? He created the industry of Facebook and other stuff. But he's actually been losing because he's been trying to expand it and create Meta. You know, I've been on those Oculus glasses in the VR world. But he's been losing billions of dollars. And by him losing those billions of dollars trying to invest in that, what he's been doing lately, he's been laying off people. He's been having to let people go from his jobs. So imagine, so if you're giving away, you're trying to expand your business with so that you can employ other people, but at the same time, you want to give all your money because you said homeless people. I understand. We sympathize with that. But just because I have a business don't mean I got to give all of my damn money away. I still got family. You know, if I have my son, I want to leave my son. And this is what's wrong with the black community. When we die, we don't leave shit to nobody. We don't have nothing to leave to them. So we talk about slavery, and I got to throw this in there. We talk about slavery and people still living off the money from slavery because they put back. They didn't just give their goddamn money away. So in the black community, we just think because we get some money, this was wrong now. We get some money, we go buy some damn Jordans, we go buy all these goddamn diamond rings and all these goddamn jewelry, and then when you die, you don't have nothing to leave your children. So just because I have a company and I'm making billions, I need to leave something for my generation that's coming behind me so my son can have some money, so his children can have some money. They can pass on that money. They ain't got to go out here and slave on nobody else's job. So just because I make money don't mean I got to give this shit away. Yes, I can contribute to charities, but I'm just not going to give it away just because I make billions. You don't know, I can create job opportunities to give people jobs to help them, and then they can do, you know, whatever they can do. If they invest, that's fine. But just because a person have money, brother, see, that's what Sarge was saying earlier. These Marxists and the socialists think they're supposed to just, you could just take everybody's shit just because they make money.
No.
And they, some people straight from the bottom to become billionaires. So we're supposed to penalize them because they went from the bottom. They invested $2 and probably, man, came out to be a billionaire. Now we're supposed to penalize them because they became a millionaire off a dollar? That's not right,
bro. Here's the deal. If you ever had a original black thought, right, and you thought only in that way, and you didn't,
I don't know what original black thought is.
You didn't think with a European way of thinking or looking at things in a sense. So you had an Afrocentric way of seeing things in a way. So you were like Mansa Musa, right? And so you were traveling all throughout Africa, and you're the richest man in the world, right? And you just see people all on the side everywhere, you know, in every town you come to, you're just giving away plenty of gold to everybody who's in your eye contact. You're just giving gold to everybody. And that takes them out of their poverty. Now they're able to survive and live comfortably and even now have a better way of, what you call it, like being able to buy things and trade things now because they're on board now. Now everybody's cool now. Everybody's good. Everybody that saw Mansa Musa come by or everywhere that Mansa Musa went, things were better and they made the economy better wherever he went because he gave away all of his riches. Not all of them, but he was the richest man in the world. So he was able to give away so much money and charity to people that it offset the economy and it made things so flattened out to where no one was killing each other and robbing each other or anything. Everybody had something. Everybody was good. So that's all I'm saying. Fix everything, make everybody with a clean slate, and they'll be able to participate more into the economy because now they're contributing, they got money to spend, and they're feeling better about themselves. They're getting their life back together because it's going to take some time. They've been out of, you know, out of the, they've been down for a while. It takes time to get up. You give them, you know, a good situation, and then they get themselves back to living and back to life and back to love and back to care. And that's what I'm saying here. God damn it, a black thought.
But whose job
a real way of thinking.
Brother. But whose job is it? Because you're not saying, you're not putting their
it's responsibility
on the...
It's somebody who rich with a heart.
But see, but
rich
you,
with
you,
a heart.
You're not, it's the government job to be able to manage the economy and all of this. So you're putting this on independent business owners and saying this is what they're supposed to do. So you'll make a person like scared to even try to start a business, and especially become a successful business, because damn, if I become successful, they're going to target me. I'm scared to be successful
that's not
and
what
make
I'm saying.
Millions because they're going to target the shit out of me.
That's
so
not
I
what
give
I'm
all
saying.
My
you
shit away.
Not, that's not what I'm saying.
You may not
that's
think
what
that's what you're saying, but that is what you're saying, because once a rich man becomes, according to the socialists, okay, according to the Marx.
Uh-oh.
Joe?
Joe, you dropped off, Joe.
You muted yourself, Joe. Unmute yourself or call back.
Because he's still online.
Oh, well, he muted himself. He
yeah,
don't know
where
how to unmute himself.
Sarge still here? He muted, too. Damn, everybody on, though.
Okay.
What happened? Maybe.
Something happened.
The Democrats got him.
If you always got to throw them in, like.
Because they the fuck ups. It's obvious, bro. I'm completely gonna throw them in there, brother. Everywhere we looking, I look at this shit. I research this study every day. I live in a Democratic city, so I don't have to look. I don't have to look to Chicago. I don't have to look to California. I don't have to look nowhere. I live here in a city that's predominantly ran by Democrats, and I see the fuck ups. I see the same thing, and this is why, again, all of the we having a high crime rate, everything they're saying, everywhere you see in these cities with a high crime rate, again, who are running this city? That's an article I need to pull up then. I don't know what happened to Joe then, because both of their lines are still open. I don't know what happened. Yeah, it's some crazy stuff going on tonight with this audio. Their mics are still open. What is this damn thing here? Okay. There was an article by the Daily Signal. What's the name of it? Let me get pull it up. The DailySignal.com. Now this was from November 4th of 2022. It was saying 27 out of 30. It's a 27 of top 30 crime ridden cities ran by Democrats. Just look the stats up, y'all. Don't go by this. It just what it's saying. The new report showed Democratic policies in cities and countries are responsible for the rising crime rates in their otherwise red states. The Heritage Foundation today released a 19-page report titled "The Blue City Murder Problem." I live in one of them blue states. I see it. And then going back to something else, and you were kind of talking about earlier, bro. Now, even with the police. Brother, with all this shit going on in this city right now, I don't know if to use the word. I'm trying to find a proper word. I don't want to say terrified, fearful, but I guess if anything ever happened, I'm more concerned about if looking at some young brothers or some brother. I ain't gonna say young. Some brothers pulling up beside me, four guys. Cause that's what I've been riding around. Always a carload of dudes pulling up beside me. And maybe carjacking me or just jump out and start shooting me and shit. Then the police pulling up beside me and snatching me out, beating my ass. That's how this city is right now. That's how people are right now in this city. They're not worried about the police doing the Tyree Nichols on them. They worried about these young guys around here jumping out, carjacking them, doing all these goddamn shooting. There was a shooting, about a week ago, last week, at a club that Yo Gotti bought for his mother. Five guys were shot up there. I think two or three died up there. So, bro, this is what we're having in our community, not just police killing. It's like we were saying, bro, in this city right now, they got, you know, they had the Tyree Nichols that we heard about, the Tyree Nichols. I ain't heard nothing else about police killings in this city other than just that situation. Everything now has been about the murder rate or so-called black-on-black crime where we doing shit to each other. in a Democrat in a democratically city. They ain't giving a fuck. They ain't saying nothing. You know, and even what they were talking about reparation earlier, you know, they had somebody on the city council here was talking about reparations. But not just giving you money like they're talking about in California. The reparations, y'all, that they was talking about giving you is if you need housing, public assistance, if you, that's what they're talking about. They ain't just talking about giving you nothing just because you black. They're talking about in a form of assistance and probably sending you to school or some stuff like that. Man, I'm telling you, these Democratic, this is what's the problem and continue to be the problem. Again, even when that guy in Chicago, you talking about just Chicago. Oh, you mentioned something. I'm glad I just get to this right now. You mentioned something. They glad to see this because of Laura Lightfoot. She brought a black, I mean, she brought her lesbian wife on stage. Now, here's something, brother. Don't fall for the fucking illusion. Don't fall for the fucking illusion. But here's why I say that. Because you say he's a family man. He got a wife. And I don't know if he got children or not. But then we see that same thing with Barack Obama. We fall in love with the illusion. Barack Obama gave us like the ooh-wee, man. We thought we had the American black family. I don't know. I ain't going to say American. We had the perfect black. Ain't that sweet? We got a black man as the president. He got a black woman under his elbow. Like Carly said, under his elbow. He got two beautiful black daughters. Oh, look at that, man. That's beautiful, man. A black man with a black woman with two black children in the White House. Oh, man, that's something else, y'all. We don't overcame. But what did Obama's thing that he did? What was his number one accomplishment? I know somebody going to say, God damn it, what was that, health care? No, hell no. That's not his greatest accomplishment because People Magazine had it on the goddamn front cover, the first gay black president. They had it on the goddamn thing. His accomplishment is, and you ask LGBT what's his greatest accomplishment, they're going to tell you passing same-sex marriage in America. But he was a goddamn, but he had a wife now. Now, that's supposed to be a real woman, not a trans woman now. I'm just saying, that's what they say now. That's supposed to be a real woman. But that's his legacy for his greatest accomplishment. If you want to argue with me, don't argue with me. Ask LGBT. They ain't going to send nobody no goddamn health care. So that whole goddamn illusion because dude got a wife and some children don't mean a goddamn thing. But his whole policy, he talked about
the whole
police and his budget and all that shit. Bruh, these people, man, they under the same playbook. This is why we got to stop again. And this is why I really, really, and I started looking. I'm glad I had this damn great awakening with myself and stopped looking at all this because you black, you in this goddamn avatar with a dark skin. Listen, that's why I said when you said a black man, I don't know what a fucking black mind is. I know a great idea. I don't know a black idea, white idea. I know a great idea. I don't know a black thought. I don't know a white thought. I know a great thought, a bad thought. See, we getting caught up in this, and black folks, man, have, and see, this is the problem. This is why we keep letting black folks off the fucking hook, but when they are instrumental in a lot of our own goddamn downfall, they are. We, black people have been instrumental in a lot of this shit too, bro, but we, you know what? But we don't want to point the finger at them, because you can't say nothing to them because we're black. And I'm gonna let you go ahead. But see, this is what Sarge was kind of saying earlier. This is why they will put Alvin, people's calling him Fat Alvin now. Yeah, that's funny. But Alvin, they will put him in that place because they didn't want that. And because, you know, they're going to put him in that place to go after Trump. Because, you know, you can't holler, you know, any, I don't know. You can't say racism because they were white and black. But can't nobody ridicule him. Because they're going to play because if Trump go after him and say anything, see, then they're going to say Trump playing the race card. He don't like him because he's black. So they're going to put him in the place to do the dirty work. Why after all this time, did nobody else do this? They had all this evidence. Why didn't nobody else go out to Trump and indict him? All goddamn evidence they supposed to have been having a long time ago. Why didn't they do it? There's a lot of shit y'all better pay attention to.
It's still coming. It's still coming.
Black people,
this is the East.
But look at even the homosexual.
Witness is a convicted perjurer who has said contrary things in public about Stormy Daniels, who paid the money. He said he took out a home equity loan of line of credit to pay the so-called hush money out of his own money. Stormy Daniels wrote a public letter, signed it, and said she never had sexual relations with Trump. So when was she lying? Was she lying then or is she lying now? Mm. Is she lying on now because she's going to get a deal from Alvin Bragg or from whoever is behind the scenes pulling her? I mean, you're going to believe when someone makes bills, they're almost their entire case. And their star witness is a convicted perjurer with no independent corroboration. Man, that case stinks to high heaven.
Hey, Aria, I got something that I pulled up about.
Go ahead.
What was it? What is this about here? You were talking about how liberal-run states have a higher crime rate than.
No, I said liberal-run cities do. Democrat-run cities. It doesn't matter whether they're red states or blue states. If a city is run by Democrats, it is among the highest crime entities in the nation.
Well, here's
like
the
Little
study
Rock
that just
is in
came
Arkansas,
out.
Which is a red state, and Little Rock, Arkansas, has one of the highest crime rates in the nation, but the mayor is a Democrat.
Yeah, he was kind of mentioning me, Sarge, because I think you would, I don't know, your phone might have went out, and I was reading something about that. Like I said, I'm going to go ahead. Just,
yeah.
But it was saying 27 top 30 crime-ridden cities ran by Democrats. It was an article by the Daily Signal. And we'll go ahead.
If you believe
and
in
I have
mathematics,
a new
there's no other conclusion you can draw. If you believe math is real, you know, numbers.
They
no
say there's a they say there's a new study from the center left third way that shows that states won by Trump in 2020 the election have higher murder rates than those carried by Joe Biden.
No, they
the
have because
murder
of these cities run by Democrats. The cities.
This is the highest.
The cities
use
homicide rate up. Do you realize that out of more than 3,300 counties in the United States, over half of them don't even report one homicide a year? And out of the rest of them, it's like three or less.
Okay, let me finish reading the report, okay?
Hold on. What did report, one more time, just where did report come from? What did you say okay. Did that report?
Okay.
You started off by saying somebody.
I was about to, right? This is a Yahoo News report, actually.
Now, you said something about the liberal something. I thought you said when you first started reading it.
Oh, okay.
I believe the states won by Trump had higher homicide rates or something like that.
No, but even before that, he said something about liberal something. I thought he said something. I might be wrong. That's why I want to go back.
I'll tell you, the Georgia homicide rate is skewed so high because of Atlanta, again, run by Democrats.
Yeah.
It was,
you had
Illinois
read,
the
Justin.
Same
it
way.
Was
Cook
of,
County
it was
Chicago.
Out of the report you read.
So because of Chicago and Cook County, it's skewed so high.
Okay.
It was out of the report
I
you read.
Saying,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was you know, piggybacking off of what I did read. It says a new study from the center-left think tank Third Way shows that states won by Trump in 2020 election have higher murder rates than those carried by Joe Biden. The highest murder rates in the study found are often in conservative rural states. The study found that the murder rates in the 25 states Trump carried in 2020 are 40% higher overall than in the states Biden won. The report used 2020 data because 2021 data is not yet fully available. The five states with the highest per capita murder rate, Mississippi, Louisiana, Kentucky, Alabama, and Missouri, all lean Republican and voted for Trump. There are some examples of the states Biden won in 2020 that also have high per capita murder rates, including New Mexico and Georgia, which have the 7th and 8th highest murder rates, respectively. And there are Trump-supporting states with low murder rates, such as Idaho and Utah. Broadly speaking, the South and to a lesser extent, the Midwest has more murders per capita than the Northeast, Interior, West, and West Coast, the study found. Those findings are consistent with a pattern that has existed for decades in which the South has had higher rates of violent crime than the nation as a whole. Okay?
But you said one key element.
I can continue.
You didn't say liberal. You said left think tank right there. Red flag. You said left think tank. That tells you right there the bias. I ain't going to say the bias. That's because it's coming from their perspective. So, you know, if somebody else is saying it, it's the Democratic cities, what the left going to say? No, it's the Republicans.
Well, what about the right?
Because I'm
about
looking
the right?
At,
they
I'm
got
looking
the
at audio
thinking,
right
they
here
got
where
right.
Hillary's saying it.
Okay,
I'm just
well,
saying,
the reason, the reason I like the study done by the Crime Prevention Research Center is because not every jurisdiction reports homicides to the Uniform Crime Reporting Agency that the federal that the FBI runs. Not every jurisdiction is does it because there's no law that requires them to, or there is no constitutional way to make them to, even if they wanted to. So you have to go to each and every county and ask the officials there what murders occurred in there year by year. And that's what John Lott did. He went to every single county in the United States and asked them for their information. So that would include everybody, whether they report to the FBI or not. So it's a much more accurate picture. And here's what he found. He found that last year he did was 2021. And here's what they did. They divided the counties into three different groups based on the amount of murders recorded. A majority of counties that experienced no murders at all. A smaller group of counties that see low murder rates. And a tiny, tiny set of counties where murders are very common. 52% of counties with no reported murders covered about 20% of the population. 68% of counties did not exceed one murder in 2020. Which account for 2.6 of all murders in 2020. Most murders took place in the worst 5% of counties that year, while the worst 1%, only 31 counties, recorded 42% of the murders in 2020. That is where 21% of the entire United States population lives. So the worst 2% of counties, 62 of them, contain 31% of the population and account for 73% of the murders. But even within those counties, the murders are heavily concentrated in small areas, and I will name them. Cook County, home to Chicago, 40% of the state's population, had the most amount of recorded murders of any location in 2020 with 775. Cook County was followed by Los Angeles County, 691. Harris County, 537. Philadelphia County, 495. New York's five counties, 465. Wayne County, Michigan, 379. Shelby County, Tennessee, 311. Maricopa County,
Maricopa is the first Republican county
we come to. The others are all Democrat. Maricopa County is the first one. Then we got Baltimore, 291, Dallas County, 281, and Marion County, Indiana, 234. So out of all them counties, two of them are Republican. All the rest of them are rats.
Sir, you know, you can draw any kind of conclusion, but because
I'll
of what happened
numbers,
with...
I don't just draw conclusions.
Yeah, but these numbers, you know, people can twist numbers or make up any kind of stat they want. And people do it all the time.
I mean,
the whole thing about it is it goes both ways, Sarge. No, it's not that I think it's just that the way that you're skewing it, you're making it look like.
No, I'm reporting it. I'm not skewing anything. I can give you a skew. I'll be happy to skew it.
If I was to continue the report that I'm reading, it's going to say some things that are slightly different than what you're saying. That doesn't,
sure it will.
You know,
but like
support,
I said, it's better to go to each county in the United States and ask
because,
what murders can. That covers
because you're
everything.
Talking about things that happened up until 2020. We're talking about
so
what happened
after 2020.
What
do you think has changed in the last 2 years?
20,
they don't have 2023 yet.
Because of COVID coming in and the lockdowns, all of these things came into play. And all
and that
of
made
the,
people less likely to murder?
Nice work,
no, man. What I'm trying to say is you can throw party lines out the window because it cut cross-party lines for
pandemic.
I gave
numbers reported by counties. That's
yeah, but you're talking
line.
About
– you're
still talking about –
if you want to say they're not reporting,
talking.
Actually give me the reason why you think so.
no, you can have the actual facts, but it doesn't make it doesn't really you're missing my point. What I'm trying to say about what you're saying is that this other team of experts who came up with what they have seen, they say that it doesn't matter what side that you look at in the cities across the country, it affects all the cities. The violence has broken out across the country, no matter what city, whether a red state or a blue state, the crime is off the hook across the country. So you can throw those stats out the window as far as who's responsible, what party's responsible. Nobody's going to – you can't put a blame on a party for who's responsible.
I do not believe we have a nationwide problem with homicide. I think it's concentrated in a very few specific areas, and it's really bad there. And they try to magnify it into a nationwide problem that does not exist.
They just said that there's more crime being committed and killings being committed out in the Midwest than it is in the Northeast. You see what I'm saying? Louisiana and Mississippi and these places, Alabama and Tennessee, all these places. It's a whole lot of murder going on.
New Orleans. It's not everywhere in Louisiana. It's the city of New Orleans run by a Democrat.
Okay. Okay, but you got high crime rates everywhere, and these some of these states are red states that these places are in.
Well,
you see what I'm
saying?
So,
specifically focusing on homicide. Homicide, which I think all
I am too, and I am too, but you don't have
to. I mean,
carjackings,
you go to Washington, D.C., it's off the chain. Like 156% in the last year is increased.
All right.
But we can go on with different categories of crime. But the reason I go with homicide is because homicide is the most reliably reported because you almost always have a dead body, and it's kind of hard to overlook a dead body. That's why it's so reliably reported.
Okay, I got you.
And there's a report made on every dead body the police come in contact with.
All right, so
I mean,
this is
I think it's a reliable indicator of where the crime is. And if you look at where the crime is, you look at the distribution in relative areas, you will see it is largely concentrated in the southwest of the United States, in the state of California, in the state of Florida, where Democrats run things, where the Democrats are in charge of the
department
that have to enforce the murder problem. And in some areas of Texas and in New York and on the eastern seaboard of the United States, you go through flyover country, it's almost non-existent.
Listen, man, let me finish this little report because I'm going to sort of bring you up because everybody can bring some daggone stats and everything, okay? So, yeah, it might sound a little different to you, but here's what they say. This is the truth. Murder rates in the U.S. rose dramatically in 2020 from record lows, and the increases are similar across the states, regardless of partisan preference. For homicides in 2020, third way found a 32% uptick in Trump backing states versus a 30% rise in those voted for Biden. Some states with large cities such as New York and Pennsylvania saw larger than average increases. New York went up 47%, Pennsylvania is up 39%, but the largest increase was in rural Republican led states, including Montana, 84% jump, and South Dakota with an 81% jump. The highest national murder rate is naturally causing a public concern. Although violent crime does remain far below its 1990s high points, using the FBI data, the violent crime rate fell 49% between 1990 and 2019, from 757 incidents per 100,000 people to 379 per 100,000, the Pew Research Center noted. Last November, between 2019 and 2020, the murder rate jumped from 6 homicides per 100,000 people to 7.8 homicides per 100,000 people, but it was still 22% below the rate in 1991 of 10 homicides per 100,000 people. So, yeah, anybody can bring, you know, stuff, and it's still good information, right? Right? It's still good information?
But here's what we can do.
Okay,
though.
Even though they say, you know, said about Montana, for instance, it's very true. Montana had 33 murders in 2021 in the whole state. And in 2020 they had 51 murders, okay? They had 51 murders, manslaughters in 2020 in the entire state, 51. They had, in 2021, they had 33. So their homicide rate actually dropped by almost 50%. So, yeah, you could say, okay, if you have a county that has one murder a year and then they have two murders, well, their homicide rate has jumped 200-300%.
Let me tell you something,
a realistic picture of what where the homicides occur and where they're actually concentrated.
SARS, we went from 340 murders in Philly in 2019 to 2020 come around, we had 540 murders. Then we had 560 murders. Then last year we had another 500 murders, 560-something murders in Philly. So it was way up over here, way up. We ain't had no 500 no damn murders in a long time, since 1990. Now we got 500 for 3 years in a row. 1,500 people dead. 1,500 people dead.
Yeah, Democrats.
I ain't putting no. You know, it is what it is. It's an American problem.
Yeah,
it ain't no goddamn no political thing. It's an American problem.
No. Brother Justice,
it's American culture. America love violence.
No.
They love their violent movies.
No,
they love their violent video games.
No,
it's a violent culture.
Just, I'm going to disagree, but I'm going to tell you, because here's what we look at. See, you say you don't want to put politics in it. Politics, just like I keep telling y'all, brothers, so politics plays a major role in everything, whether you like it or not. Because here's why. Politics and things dictate your life. It's everything about your life. Because even to say that I'm a Republican, it's not even Republican. When you say I'm a conservative, which they would label probably a Republican or a liberal, it's all about a mindset and a way of life, how you live. Because even when you're looking at these liberals, it's all about a mindset and how they think about things and how they view things, which is going to turn into politics and how they vote and how they put laws into place. Is about a lifestyle. Look who's pushing all this LGBT shit going on out here, huh? Just be honest, y'all. It's coming from the Democratic side. I'm gonna say the Democratic side. It is about a lifestyle. It's not that a lifestyle. It's being a homosexual and this drag shit. Is that not a lifestyle? Being a transgender. Is that not a lifestyle? And politics is behind.
You gotta
it.
Ask.
So politics is behind.
Gotta ask
so
George
like
Santos.
Not,
let's ask George Santos first. Ask
and what
him.
Is he? What is George Soros? A fucking, excuse my friend, let me slow down. He's a liberal. So he's a Democrat. Again, so politics goes into it, brother. Whether we like, and the reason we don't want to throw politics into it, because again, we favor that team. We favor that team. With the Chicago Bulls, L.A. Rams, or whoever it is, that's why we don't want to put that on. No, it ain't. That is not what the problem is. Just the hell it is. Look where it's coming from.
Look up George Santos. He's a Republican.
I live in a Democratic city, and I can tell you the mindset. All this shit that
George Santos.
He's a Democrat, brother. He's a liberal. You look him up.
No, he's not.
You.
No, he ain't. He's with the Republicans.
George Soros is not.
Yeah, Santos.
Ron DeSantis. In Florida.
No, I'm talking about George Santos from New York, the new senator dude.
I thought you're talking about the one to be pushing all this other shit. But
no, not him. I'm talking about the dude that's a Republican. He used to be a cross-dresser. He used to be a drag queen and all that. He a Republican.
Don't take me wrong now. I'm not saying that they're probably not no. Because, hey, they said, what's his name? Dick Cheney's daughter was a homosexual. But here's something, though. Did y'all see Bush and Cheney them pushing the homosexual agenda? When even
nope.
They said, now they say that. I don't know his daughter for real, y'all, but I've just heard what I heard. But we did not see them push a homosexual agenda. But who we
nope.
seeing pushing
nope.
this shit? Donald Trump. I mean, that was the damn fool name. Obama. And then
Obama.
Not Obama. When Obama got it out of there, what did Joe Biden say? My first 100 days in office, I'm going to make sure I try to push the Equality Act. That was dealing with what? Homosexuality, the LGBT community. So we see it. Come on, brother. We can't play no games with this shit. We see where it's coming
from. But Joe Biden is the one who jumped that out. See, Obama didn't want to do that, but Joe Biden got out in front of him
but
when Joe Biden was the vice president. And
bro,
he said that.
We got to be honest about this shit. Because, like I said again, because it's our favorite team, bro. We can't look. Don't try to cover
Obama couldn't walk it back
because
Joe Biden started that mess. Obama couldn't walk it back at that point.
Well, he spoke out. He spoke for it. But I want to read something right fast. Here goes something. This is from this report again, what I was talking about earlier. It's hard not to understand why the reforms such as ending cash bails, deforming the police, refusing to prosecute entire categories of crime, letting thousands of convicted felons out of prison early, significantly cutting the prison population and other progressive ideas have led to massive spikes in crime, particularly violent crimes, including murder in the community where those on the left have implemented them.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, that's right, because they're really being soft on crime now because of all of this being so sensitive.
See, that's all what we're saying. So they the fucking
problem. I agree with you. I agree with that. I agree. I mean, but hey, look, we got to just wake them up towards the, hey, look, remember my crime bill, right? Remember my crime bill, right?
The liberals and the progressive are the problem of this country. They are the problem of this fucking country. You can say, well, the Republic, they're some racist mother, but you please tell me, like again, for my black brothers and sisters out there who call themselves black, we ask this question still to this very day. When y'all was saying Donald Trump was racist, is racist. I got to be honest. I just got to throw it out there. When you ask this question to anybody from when he was in office to right to this very day, tell me, please tell me, what policy did he make that hurted black people in this country? What policy did he put in play that hurt black people as a whole in this country? I didn't hear nothing then, and I'm still waiting to hear some now. Well, you still going to hear, well,
cricket.
Biden is better than him. Well, that ain't what the hell I asked you.
Because
you say he's
right. Racist.
Hell, they did Jim Crow law to hurt black people. So tell me what kind of law did Biden put in place, Trump, that was like Jim Crow, anything to hurt black people. That's what I want to hear, because I'm about a policy. I'm about policy and procedures. I don't want to hear all that damn how we talk crazy each other. So all that shit that Donald Trump might have been talking crazy, I hear that shit every day at work in the black community. So that don't mean nothing to me. How you can hurt me with a bill and other things that affect me, that's what counts. I don't give a damn how you talking reckless and whatnot. Hell, our comedians talk crazy and shit. We laugh, we pay money and all that shit to go see them talk crazy and make fun of us. We pay them. That's not the point. And see, this is what they get us with. Why the Democrats over here playing like they're your best friend, as Malcolm was trying to tell y'all way back in the 60s, they playing you and look at what's going on. Look at right now. When Bill Lee, pick up the Bill Lee, and I'm glad I did vote for him when I was able to vote, the Republican governor, Bill Lee, I'm glad I was able to vote for him. When he started talking about all this drag queen stuff in America. And I'm just thinking I pull this back up too. This drag queen stuff, they banning all this drag queen stuff in public places. And this is what, and there was, I listened to a video, and there was a young homosexual black man. He was even talking about this stuff. He was even going against this LGBT agenda, saying it's stupid, it's ridiculous. And he's even asking the same question. Why, what is so important? What is so important about drag queens want to shake their butt and dance in front of young children? What's the importance of that? This is what even a homosexual man himself, black man, was saying. He said, stupid. He said, leave those children alone. So and now they're trying to sue the governor because he's banning that. Now any other time, like I said, that's exploitation of children, that's child abuse. You got children in front of homosexual men that's parading in front of them. I seen one video, they got a little child up there twerking, and they sticking money down this child's underwear and stuff
that. That's disgraceful.
Is that not pedophilia? All of them were supposed to went to jail, but no, you can't. But no, We ain't going to do that because that's their right, because they transgender, right. They gay, they whatever. That's no, crazy. We can't mess with them. But see, when we talk about, we're looking at with Governor DeSantis, what he's trying to do, DeSantis or whatever his name, in Florida, the governor, where they're trying to protect your children. When they, like we did the show, we were talking about, they trying to stop black history from being taught in Florida. They trying to ban black history. See, they played you again, when they trying to tell you this bullshit, they trying to ban. No, he was trying to protect your children, because I even have the documents that I read on here before. They was talking about they trying to hide and insert queer theory doctrine under the name of black lives or the black history. See, that's why I tell y'all again, brothers and sisters, they playing you with your blackness, but you don't see that because what? You stuck on your goddamn blackness again. The whole game is, again, that's why they constantly putting, and y'all look at it, they constantly putting black faces in leadership roles. But again, I'm asking y'all something. How well is that going? They got a black police chief woman here. The first black this, and this is what we getting caught up on again, y'all. The first black this, the first black that. Y'all had the first black a woman. Or whatever the hell, homosexual mayor in Chicago. How did that work out? So now y'all again, y'all will celebrate again. Oh, we got another black man in there. Oh, yeah, whoop-de-doo, we finna throw a big party. Let me ask y'all, just wait a minute. Just wait. Give him another year. See how that's going to work out. See all this shit, what we got talking about, we got first black this, first black, what was that down in, the woman down in, Atlanta. Y'all getting played, man, every fucking time. These bootleg Negroes, Brother Steve Coakley tried to tell y'all about these folks, man. They do not have your common interest at all. It's only about what they can get. And again, if we talk about slavery, if we want to be honest, who were the ones who was instrumental in helping even the Europeans to put your family on them damn ships and selling your family to the Europeans in the first place? Because we're going to tell it, y'all. We got to tell it all. We can't play no game. Again, we don't want to be honest about it because I'm black. See, I'm through with the black game. I'm about righteous game. As my Tanakh, as y'all call the Old Testament Bible, try to tell me about dealing with righteously, not colorism. As I learned the principles, even about Ma'at, it wasn't about no colorism. And the comedic information and comedic science and philosophy. It's about right and wrong in life. As even with Trump, oh, shit, I got to use the Trump head. When he said it was both good and bad on both sides, but y'all, oh, goddammit, he talking about the goddamn Klan. See, again, you listen to CNN and them sound bites. I heard somebody say the other night, I was in a room. Communist Network News. That's what they call it, the Communist Network News, CNN.
What?
And let me say y'all something right fast, too. I was in a room on a VR the other night, and I went in that little room. It was something about Biden versus Trump. And when I went in there, you know, the VR, you had like characters. And I think when it went in there, it was predominantly people of European descent, so-called, what we call so-called white in there. Probably two black avatars. Well, three, make myself three. And one guy, everybody else, like a lot of the guys were saying, well, I'm really not a Trump fan. But they were down with and support what he was trying to do for America. That was it. And it made it. And that's what a lot of us are saying. It ain't about Trump. We're not personality worshipers of Trump. We're about what he was standing for the people of America and for our rights. For me, I'm a brother who stand and believe in the, and I have mental bones. I ain't scared to say it. Damn the conscious community. I believe in the supreme being. I believe in the Most High, and I stand on what they call Torah. As a Jew or Israelite, I stand on what we call the Torah or the Tanakh. So, and one thing here, we see a lot of people, they say they want to basically get rid of the Bible. They ain't saying it straight out, but they want to get rid of the Bible, they want to get rid of God. One thing Trump did, he didn't say, well, we just want to keep Christianity in America. We want to protect Christianity. He signed the law, a bill, or something, I forgot exactly what it was, to protect you of your religious rights in America. Didn't matter what it was, whether you're Buddhist, Hindu, didn't matter what it was, to protect your religious freedom in America. So that was one thing for me. I was like, okay, cool. I respect that. When we see that a lot of us brothers and sisters, like the transgender went in a church and shot up a school with those children in a church. I'm not a Christian, but I'm a Jew. But still, again, that's not right. It's not right. Transgenders, because I don't know what went on. It's not, are they going to say that's a hate crime? But I want to play some. Let me see if I play this. But here's something, again, while y'all trying to push. And this all I'm about is, like I said, right and wrong. When they're trying to push stuff. Uh-oh, see, it's not playing. Let me see if I reconnect it. Trying to push all this stuff on these children in school. Trying to reconnect this right fast. Push all
can
this shit on these children
first?
In school.
Can I say something?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, go ahead while I'm just trying to connect right fast. I'm going to let y'all hear something.
Now, if the election was tomorrow between Biden and Trump, and I'm thinking about the world and how much danger it is because Joe Biden don't understand that he need to learn how to negotiate. So I would actually throw my vote behind Trump just to save America, because I believe that he has the ability to talk to Vladimir Putin and to talk to Volodymyr Zelensky and to work out a deal between the two of them, how he liked to talk about a deal. He would work out a deal to stop the war and to stop killing and to have an agreement to, okay, like, all right, that's it. You know, we're going to stop all this and get things back, you know, rebuilt. So I'm saying, like, yeah, I would vote for somebody who know how to bring people together. And just like I was saying about Kim Jong-il, who kept shooting up those test missiles down there in South Korea, and all the presidents that was George Bush, he couldn't stop him from doing the test missiles while he was the president for 8 years. Obama couldn't stop the man from doing the test missiles, frightening the world and all the people in the region for these missiles that might land anywhere. And Obama couldn't stop him. Then Trump get in there and within 2 years, got that man to stop shooting those missiles up by threatening him and then becoming friends with him to the point where he said that Kim Jong-un wrote him a love letter and he loved him and he cared, you know, something going on, something crazy. That they had this kind of relationship to where it was crazy. But he gained his respect by whatever means or however it was to kiss up to him or whatever you want to say, but he got him to stop shooting the missiles off. But what happened? When Joe Biden became the president, about a year later, here he go, start shooting the missiles up. So there's something about Trump that he have negotiating skills. I said that he's the greatest chess player that I've ever seen in the world. He's the greatest chess player even still to this day right now, to this hour. I ain't never seen nobody play chess as well. Even though he's been indicted and all that, he's playing chess while he's being indicted. Believe that. He's playing some chess. He's going to make some moves. And then if you end up, Democrats ain't going to turn out like they did the first time for Joe Biden like that. And a lot of people going to do like I'm going to do. I'm not voting for Joe Biden. I vote for Trump this time. Be the first time in the history of me voting for a Republican, but I'll go ahead and throw my vote behind him because he's the only chance we got, and we won't have World War III, nuclear war, tear up the whole everything. All America be destroyed by Russia and China. Trump the only one can negotiate with China and that little man down there. And Vladimir Putin, all of them together. He the only one can talk to them all and say, look, chill out or whatever they got to do to make a deal for everybody to be cool. So we don't have all this craziness going on. Trump proved that he can do that. He already done proved some of this stuff I'm saying. So if I didn't know, I've seen him be the president. I've seen, yeah, he can do a lot of stuff. He act crazy. He, you know, how he got all his kind of flaws and whatnot, but he do move the ball. Every day it seemed like he was getting something going. It was something moving forward every day that he was the president. Things was moving every day. So he could get something done quickly. Okay? It don't take all this time. He made them fools make a daggone vaccine in 8 or 9 months. He wanted to do a warp speed daggone vaccine. And he made them do a warp speed on them. And then they took it over and made people take it. They were paying you to take it and then making you take it. If you didn't take it, they threatened that you would take away your job on an experimental vaccine.
A lot of the country states who made the people do that? Because Tennessee, again, I'm glad I voted for Governor Bill Lee, because he didn't make people do that here in America. He fought against a lot of the stuff that they was doing here in Tennessee. Yeah, but New York, all those places like that, California, a lot of them places, they made people get them damn shots and all that. Made people lost jobs and everything. Cause, oh, you better get it. You better get this. Yeah, and see what happened. But again, I can't get, I don't know, something going on, man, with this internet thing. I can't get that clip, but that's another hope. But that's cool. I go in another direction. Again, you mentioned something earlier, and I was watching a video about this, talking about Walmart and all of this going out of business. That was Kroger's. That was a Kroger, two Kroger stores in the so-called black community that went out of business and left here in two places. The people was kicking, hollering, and screaming. And they even had Jesse Jackson came down here. You know, I don't know why, but so-called, I don't know what it's supposed to have been, a protest or something. Man, why y'all leaving? The people ain't going to have nothing to eat. Ain't no stores around here to go eat and all of this stuff that they was complaining about. But here's something we got to look at. We got to tell our people, and I might get criticized for this, but I don't give a damn no more. This is like a video I heard a sister say. I'm in my spiritual place, and I newfound spiritual place, man, and I feel great by myself. So I don't give a damn about, like the sister, but it was the sister said. I wish I could play that video, but I can't get the Bluetooth.
You talking about my Dr. Moonbee?
It was another sister. She was talking about Trump. She was talking about Trump too, how she found and now she supports Trump. And said, now I'm in my spiritual place and the Most High really allowed me to see things. I don't give a damn about what nobody say about me and how you feel. I'm straight like that. I'm going to feel good in my spiritual place. But here's something I'm going to go right fast. Mm. And Ren, I'm saying this. We got to tell our people to stop all this goddamn stealing and shit they doing. Stealing, mm-hmm. breaking and shit, looting and all this stuff they doing. And then you won't have to worry about nobody taking their stuff out your
home. Oh, my God.
And the reason I'm saying it, because Kroger's, again, this is one of the reasons that the Kroger's up in both of these neighborhoods. I know these areas. High crime rate, the security guard stealing, hell, employees stealing. People shoplifting, stealing. Now, again, as somebody was saying, as a brother Sarge was mentioning about a video, as he was talking about the DA was saying, I think the DA or somebody, they got insurance. That's not the point. The insurance rate is going to keep going up. You keep stealing and stealing and stealing. But who want you to keep stealing? You to keep stealing their damn stuff. I'm trying to provide a service for you, but y'all keep taking and stealing and shit. Come on now. And how am I going to keep trying to provide jobs for you when I'm constantly losing money? And like I heard on a video, they were saying, yes, the insurance company might try to replace, but they're not going to replace it at the full value. If I lost $1,000, they probably only going to give me $700 or maybe not even that much. So I'm not going to be able to provide job opportunities for people. Eventually, I'm going to pack up and say, you know what, this ain't even worth it. And I say this because there's a week ago I was trying to go to this store. I didn't know it was on the news. The guy was saying it. I was trying to find me some shoes for my outfit, and they call it City Gear. And I went to this City Gear, and I seen all the damn glass and stuff on the ground. I'm like, damn, they must just hit him last night. Find out my wife told me, and as she was talking, she said that they hit. There was a black guy on that store. They have hit him at least 3 times, I think. They hit him before the day I seen it. They hit him. They hit him that day. That was on a Saturday. I think that was a Saturday, Friday or Saturday. I went to this store. They had just hit him the Sunday before. He was like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna have to close down. Because when they hit him, they take everything. So, and it's a black man. We're talking about supporting black business. Hell, you got a black business, you can't keep it. Because these guys are in they 20 at a time or whatnot, running in these places, robbing these places. So no one wants to bring businesses to a community where the crime rate is high. So you complaining about, man, they ain't got nothing in our hood. They ain't got, like, even Chick-fil-A. There ain't no damn Chick-fil-A nowhere around in this area where I live at. Because, you know, Chick-fil-A pride themselves on customer service, quality, and all that. They ain't even had none of that shit. What you want? That's all you want? No, none of that shit there. No, you ain't even had all that shit and they shit going on in Chick-fil-A. No.
Wow.
No, you ain't having all that.
Everybody should be like them.
So they're not having that up in, so you don't even have that. So we complain about certain things not in our communities. That's because I'm not going to invest. Even me, ain't no way in hell I would invest in a community where they taking and robbing and breaking in and stealing stuff. I wouldn't do it. So again, so to bring that back to why they said a lot of these Walmarts, like even mentioning Walmart, like a sister said on a video, hell, don't no goddamn Walmart do all that closing down like that. And it was a Walmart in an area where I live at, Whitehaven. They said 20, at least, it was 20 cars. It was all over the news. 20 cars and at least 22 people went in Walmart and, man, ramshacked in Walmart. Wide open. They wide open now. And daytime, day or night, went in there and just stole whatever they wanted. Batteries, tires, 20 people, like them flash mobs. Now, who in the hell want to continue to keep having their businesses in communities that with and things like this is happening? So again, as black people, we complain about they not doing this. But brothers and sisters, people losing money. People losing money. They have a family, too. Then they have people they got to hire. They got to employ. And a lot of the merchandise that they are taking, that has to be paid for. Nobody's giving them products for free. So you have to think about this when a lot of the shit we always complaining about. So I've been in the business, man, and so I understand how business go. So we complain about it again because you've never been in there. You probably never owned your, and I had my own home-based business and did all of that stuff too. So we can always say what a business owner should do, and he ought to be doing this. Get your own business or get an opportunity where you manage it, and then you see how things work. I was able to make money, get raises because I was making money. I was making the company money. So anytime I went to the owner and say, hey, man, this person need a raise. When I was managing, I made sure each and every last one of the people that was working with me got a raise before I got a raise. Once I made sure they got a raise and they was taken care of, because here's something as manager, you got to make a look at. The people that you employ, if they're trained well and they're doing their job, they make you look good as a manager. You don't have to say a lot of shit because they're people, they'd be on automatic. I didn't have to say nothing to a lot of those people. I usually can go home and take care of my business. I didn't have no assistant managers. I had people trained. I used to be like, man, I told them, I don't even want no managers over here. I'm going to run this by myself. I had people in place and let them help me out, assist me, and they got paid. Anytime I ever asked the owner for, hey, man, I need some money for this. I need some money. Hey, no problem. He always gave us a raise. Then when I got everybody else's raise, then I went and asked for myself a raise. But I took care of people who made me look good. And that was the people who I gave jobs to. And the crazy part about it, the owner told me one day, because, you know, they had to do background checks, but I was hiring people I didn't give a goddamn who had backgrounds too, because I had one. I was hiring them. And the owner told me one day, he said, man, I noticed something. A lot of the people you got over here got felons. I said, yeah. He said, but the thing is, man, I don't have no problem. I don't hear no complaints about y'all over here. I said, that's because these people have something to prove. We got all something to prove. Because first of all, he gave me an opportunity. I said, you know, you gave me an opportunity because a white guy. And here's the trip part about it, brothers and sisters. It was a white guy gave me that job. It was a white guy, the one got me on Spoke for Me. It was another company. I came through a temporary service and became a store manager through a temporary service because a white guy gave me an opportunity. He seen the value in me, and he asked me, he said, you know anything about detailing cars? Like, nope. He said, good. I can show you everything I want to show you. And that man showed me everything, every goddamn thing until I made store manager. So, I don't play to all that shit, man. He helped me provide an opportunity and gave me a career for my family. But another thing, though, so when he said that, like, man, all y'all got fella, but I never get any complaints about y'all. Man, y'all got a store that's running. Man, y'all profits are up. He's like, man, hey, all I can tell y'all, keep up the good job. Like I told him, these people got something to prove. They have something to prove because we've been outcast, because we got records on, because we got a record. But all we need sometimes is an opportunity. That's all we need is an opportunity. Man, we just sit down and we used to have Bible study. We used to talk about life. We used to talk about everything. You know, son, so I instilled certain things in my, and these guys, you'd come up there with their pants hanging off of them. I had a guy, I got on a woman, pull your pants up. You know, me and him got into it. Man, old school, don't nobody wear they got no pants all up there. You know, I had my pants up, shirt tucked in. Man, don't nobody wear all that. So he had a little choice where I said, man, you pull your pants up or you can go home. He want to get crazy. I said, I tell you what, you can take your ass home for good. Now, I fired him that day. He got, you know, because he got a little rowdy. I fired him that day. But you know what? I let him stay at home for about a week. So, hey, come on back. Come on back. And he learned a lesson. You know what? He came back. He had his goddamn shirt tucked in. And he was just like, he was finna go to church. Every day, he might come. He might get ready to walk up on that parking lot. He might have his pants sagging. But when he hit that damn parking lot, boy, I see him. He be straightening them goddamn pants up. I said, that's what I'm talking about, young man. I said, because you got to be – I said, man, I learned from a brother named Elijah Muhammad. He said, we got to be dignified at all times, brother. I said, man, because the reason I was getting on you, I said, man, when you be – you got to vacuum them cars, brother. You got elders coming up here, ladies. Don't nobody want to see the crack of your behind, brother. You got to be dignified.
You got to be dignified at all times.
And he learned.
You got to make a T-shirt, man.
Yes, sir.
Let's make
and
a
they
T-shirt,
appreciated,
man.
And they appreciated the skills and the lessons I was giving them, brother. So, yeah, man, you know, they appreciated that. I even, my brother, I had to fire his ass one time. He tried to talk crazy. Talking about he called me a sellout one time. I was telling him about getting to work on time. And, yeah, you can't be coming to work like this here, man, you know, all the time coming in late. That's just ain't fair for everybody else. He got, you know, me and him got into that. I fired him. But I always did. I always brought him right back. I brought everybody back. And he came back. But then when he got into management, he understood. Because like I told him, and I had to be hard. Listen, brother, nobody going to give you nothing in life. Life ain't, let nobody give you no handouts in life, man. I said, just because I'm your brother and his family members don't mean, brother, I'm supposed to just let you do what you want to do. It's not fair for the rest of these people. They got to be here on time. You got to come here on time, too. It ain't fair. And, you know, he didn't like it then,
that's
but
right.
Once he got in the management position, he seen it. Now he have his own trucking company. He own his own trucking company. He don't drive and, you know, he don't work for nobody. He have his own. Now he understand business and he understand how what it takes to run a business. So, you know, I had to go through this and learn all this shit. I didn't like discipline. But see, this is what I'm saying. We got to tell our brothers and sisters, man, if y'all want something in your community, stop taking stuff that don't belong to you. That's something your mom and dad has told you anyway. Stop taking stuff that don't belong to you. Some of y'all people, y'all taking shit that you ain't even got to. You're not like you hungry or nothing. It ain't like you starving. You stole an apple or something because you starving. You don't have no money. Just something you just need. You ain't acting a damn fool. Just taking clothes and unnecessary stuff. Because your homies them doing it. Your homie them, they get caught. They don't get caught. You going to jail. Your homie them ain't going to, and they going to be out there still acting the fool. They ain't going to send you nothing on your commissary. Ain't going to write you no note, no nothing. Come on now. We got to get it right, brothers in the black community, brothers and sisters. We got to get this thing right. And quit always complaining about this and complaining about that. We got to get ourselves right. That's one thing about Honorable Elijah Muhammad even said it too. You know, forgot I was going to say, but it was something about if we don't respect ourselves, how can basically anybody else, how can we respect, if we don't have respect and dignity for ourselves, How can we expect anybody else to do that, have a respect for us, when you don't even respect yourself? You mistreat your woman, call your women B's and H's and all of this type of stuff, calling yourself the N-word. Why would you think somebody else was going to respect you when you don't even do it to yourself? If you're killing each other, we're talking about the murder rate. If you're killing each other in the hundreds and 200s a year, so when you get across maybe a racist police, or he ain't got to be a police, what make you think he like, well, hell, they don't value their damn self, so why should I? Look at the damn news. Look at them. I said, they shooting up each other all night, every damn night, 20 a night. So why should I be concerned about killing one of them? It's just another N-word dead. Hell, when they do it, why? How come I can't? Not saying it'd be right, but y'all got to think about this, brothers and sisters. You got to think about it. What they say, you get back what you put out. So we got to be better than this. We can't keep reading no damn history books talking about, well, we were the great people. Well, what that? How come we can't be great now? Y'all get mad at Donald Trump when he was talking about make America great again. Hell, make black folk great again then. That's a hat. That's a shirt too. Make black folks great again. You always talk about how you great you were. Make black folks great again. Why don't we do this?
Thank you.
Bring value. That's why I say I'm a conservative. I have no, I ain't got nothing to hide. Like I said, I might be, hell, got a couple of strikes. I say one thing, I say I'm a black man, and I say I'm a Jew or Israelite, and plus I say I'm a conservative. There's some real strikes against me, ain't it? And I ain't scared to say it because I have values, and all of them, the Torah teaches me values. It teaches me a value system, a principle, how to handle and treat people. How to love my brothers and sisters, and how to deal with each other in economics and all of this stuff, financially, all of this. And then even conservative, I believe in the Most High. I believe in family. Key things right there. So, you know, as we look at, I'm going to hurry up and shut up my mouth. But as we look at even in America, like we say, what the hell is wrong with this world? Even with the most common thing we ever known is when it comes to family structure, we know as a man, woman, the child or children, which could be a boy and girl, but we know it was a male, where the male used to be the one with the penis, and a woman used to be the one with the vagina. You know, y'all know. Yeah, opposite of track, right? It used to be opposite of track. That's the science or whatever nature. But we knew, but now they talk about this nuclear family. There's an attack on what we know as they label now this nuclear family. There's an attack on that. That's all. They want that to be a taboo, a nuclear family. So what the hell is wrong with this world? Oh, and since I said that, we talk about America. See, this is why America. Like I said, I don't dislike America. Like I said, I'm saying it slow, y'all. I do not dislike America. No, most black people are like, man, damn America, the hell with America, the fall of America. No, it wasn't even Elijah Muhammad when he was saying, he wasn't talking about the fall of America, the country itself, the landmass. He was talking about a system, a political way that they do things. That's what the people are mad at. That's what I would dislike a lot of, and I have dislike for certain political mindsets and the way that and things how America ran. Like Dr. Yoke even said, how can I be mad at America? Not the landmass. Hell, this landmass, like he was talking about, we was the aboriginal or indigenous people of the land. How can I be mad at my country? Just a country. It's a landmass. It's the policies. This is what a lot of people are mad at America. And I say this because I was looking at this whole thing with America. Uganda was coming out with some policies against the LGBT community and things. It's a laundry list of things they was talking about. And what America was trying to tell Uganda, that's wrong. Now they want to try to put policies and sanctions and shit against Uganda. America, you're trying to be way over there trying to tell people what the hell to do. Like I said, people in this country are starving. They're hungry. veterans are laying under bridges and need places to go. But you worried about what somebody else is doing in another country about sexual orientation. And you can't even worry about the people that's over here who believe in, when they signed up to go to the military, they fight for their freedom to keep American free so they can have freedom of expression, freedom of religion and all this. And now you want to tell them and you shut them down. You won't even support them. They barely get, you know, taken care of through the VA. But now you want to go all the way over there and mess with them folks in Uganda, worry about what the hell they doing. That's their goddamn country. Like I tell them, I tell y'all in America, the American government who try to do this, it's not everybody in political arena, political places. But how would you like it? How would y'all like it when other countries are trying to come tell America what they should be doing? How would you like it if China, which here y'all already halfway ran by China anyway, but I ain't shouldn't say it out loud. But how would you like it if somebody come over here and start dictating to America what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing? How would y'all like that? How would y'all like that? Okay, just say it like this then. How would y'all like it if China, Russia, somebody like, hey, y'all need to get them black folk they damn reparation right to goddamn tomorrow. How would y'all like that? Oh, we going to put sanctions on your ass. China tell you, we going to stop trading with y'all until y'all get black folk their reparation. How would you like that,
yeah,
America?
Yeah, China. Yeah,
how
China.
Would you like that? You, China, America, you give no more, you get no more, whatever it is, with imports, exports, you get nothing else from us until you get all black folks in America their reparation. How would y'all like that, America? Man. Oh, we, So you better shit
they
your
be
ass
on their
down.
Knees. They'll be
yes,
on their
sir.
Knees.
So they better sit their ass down and mind their own business and leave them other folk business alone. Because you can't straighten out your own problems in your own community. Like they say, man, those who live, my grandma used to say this old saying, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw no stones.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Justin. I preached enough, man. I preached enough.
Man, that was fire. For sure. Man, so you left me speechless personally.
Man, I don't know what happened to Joe. I don't know. He's still, everybody's
yeah,
still
Joe, I don't know. Joe needs a new phone. He probably got old Hillary phone way back. His phone's busted. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Hell. You said Hillary. You probably really make him start talking now. You said Hillary.
Hey, got an old phone.
I'm back now, y'all. I'm back.
Yes, sir. What? I wonder why that
hey,
was
hey, man, look,
thing
I'm telling you,
run.
Look, this is the bottom line. They're
yes,
talking all this jive about Trump, this, Trump, that. We got him now. We got him now. In the meantime, they're just taking absolutely no notice that we are being governed by a cacistocracy. And I want you to look that word up. A cacistocracy is what is governing this country. That means the most incompetent, the least qualified, and the least worthy. That's what a cacistocracy is that's in charge. I've never seen a more incompetent, horrid government than this Biden administration. Everything
I
it
have,
does
I have,
is in the worst
have,
interest
have.
Of the United States.
I'm,
and I mean
I'm younger
everything.
Than you. I have. You can say all that you want to. I have.
No, you
can
express your opinion on whatever you think is the worst. This is my opinion. And my bailiwick is history, especially American history. I've looked at bad administrations before. Nothing like this thing.
I don't want to hear that. That's crazy. It's been way
you,
worse.
You finished, but look, if you want to think the Trump
worse.
Administration the worst, be my guest. Tell me why it was
no,
worse.
No,
you want to
I
say,
ain't talking
you
about
want to
the
say
Trump
George
administration.
W. Bush was the worst? Be my
Absolutely.
Guest. All I would ask
Absolutely.
Is that you explain why. I'd be perfectly prepared to tell you why I believe the Biden administration is so bad, and I can back it up with corroborative fact.
Man. All right, here we go. Bill Clinton left office in 2000 with a balanced budget for America. George Bush became president, went to war on false premises of weapons of mass destruction held by Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and he was a threat. And based on his false notion of him having weapons of mass destruction that have never been found to this day and dethroned and hung the man illegally, and ran up the deficit that was balanced to $17 trillion under that Bush administration, ruining the American economy and the world's economy as well. That's why.
This is the worst administration in presidential history.
It ain't that I believe it. It's a fact. Who ran up? Right. Who had a balanced goddamn budget after they left office, and then the man ran up the budget on a lie, $17 trillion that you're going to blame mostly on Obama, who didn't run up the deficit at all like that. He used about $4 trillion to attack on to that $17 trillion. Obama tacked on $4 trillion The world's economy was saved by Barack Obama. All the industries industry and the banking industry and the housing industry was saved by Barack Obama. The savior of the world was Barack Obama.
All right. The debt increased $11 trillion under Obama. It didn't decrease.
Whatever, dude.
Okay, now, but here's the thing. Now, I'm not going to defend the
Obama ran down unemployment all the way down to 6% when he left office. Unemployment was at 6%.
Under Trump,
when
was
he left
less than 4.
That's because Obama was pushing it down from 15% to 6%, then it was already on a trending way down as Obama was leaving office. It was still trending down. It was down to really like 4% or 5%. I go back and look. It was still trending down when Trump came into office.
Okay, Obama, prior to Joe Biden, was the first president that did not see a GDP increase during any of his quarters as president.
That's not true.
Never got to 3%. No, it didn't. Look at the numbers. It's not like
ain't nobody ever went over 2%.
Look at
the average GDP is 2%. The average GDP is 2% every year.
3%.
All right, Trump was going to claim he got 4%, but he might have because of him lowering the taxes and whatnot.
We can't have our own budget figures. They either are or they aren't.
The history of this country, the GDP has always been 2%. Okay?
Ain't nobody going to do no magic trick and make
the GDP 10%. It ain't going to never happen. It's 3%, 2%, or 4%. It ain't going to never get higher than that.
Okay, prior to Brian, what used to be the definition of a recession?
2%.
No, that's not the definition of recession. That means negative growth. That means when the GDP does not grow, no matter what it is, whether it's 1% or 10%, that means it doesn't grow for 3 quarters. That's the definition of a recession, or rather two quarters. Now, during the Obama administration, that was before Biden. Now they had to come up with a new definition of it, so as not to make him look so bad.
If you got a balanced budget in 2000, the year 2000, 23 years ago,
you got a $17 trillion deficit.
Yeah, now you got a 30-something trillion dollar deficit
that.
Now.
The only reason there was a balanced budget under Bill Clinton was because the Republican Party seized control of the House of Representatives and Senate.
That's not why.
And Newt Gingrich enforced fiscal discipline on Bill Clinton. Remember, all spending originates in the House of Representatives by constitutional law.
He got the job done.
Would not originate any new spending.
Which Republican
wanted to spend more?
Who's the only president to bring down the deficit since it got up to $17 trillion a little bit?
Okay.
That was Obama.
The deficit and the debt are not the same thing. I'm not worried about the deficit. I'm worried about the debt. We always do deficit spending. The debt increased under Obama $11 trillion. The debt is not the same as the deficit. The deficit is simply the difference between government revenue taken in versus revenue expended by the federal government. I'm talking about the debt, what we owe long term when we have to sell treasury bonds across the water.
We're in debt. with the deficit $30-something trillion. The same goddamn thing.
No, the deficit is
thing.
Not the same as the debt. Now you cannot. They're
the
not
thing.
The same.
Yes,
you can't
it
make
is.
Them up.
Yes, it is. They relate.
The deficit
they relate.
Is the differential between revenues taken in versus revenues expended. The debt is what
you,
we
know,
owe
you,
based
you,
on money expended and interest.
We both can agree.
Paid,
we both can agree to disagree. We can agree.
There is
I agree.
A difference between the deficit and the debt. You cannot say they're the same.
We still
they're
owe.
Not.
We still and owe all
like
of that
this.
Money. It's money. That's still money owed.
Okay. Okay. But see,
that's still
you're
in the hole.
We're
still in the,
hole.
We in the hole.
From year to year. That means
who
that the
made
overall
us in the
debt
hole?
Is less or it doesn't matter.
Who put
matter?
Us in the hole? Who put us in the hole? The Democrats or the Republicans?
Interest on that every day.
Who put us in the hole?
Everybody,
on a lie. Who put us in the hole on a lie? I know everybody.
Everybody
no, no, no.
In Congress
no.
Who voted
no.
To bring new appropriations.
Obama was the only one that didn't vote for the war when he was a senator.
Everything
I just said he didn't vote for that false
okay,
war
most
that caused
the
deficit.
Was not on the war.
Seven, the debit,
the
whatever
war
you want to say.
Take a lot of spending, but most of it wasn't on the war. It was on
it was the war. It was
Social Security and Medicare.
It was
it's
Halliburton.
Bill,
it was Bush and Halliburton stealing. Stealing.
See, what I mean. See,
their contract.
Off, like,
the vice
issue.
President got a contract. What's the vice president doing with a contract? What is the vice president doing with a contract?
Every single spending
in Iraq. That's illegal.
Everyone.
That was illegal. Bruh, let's just forget about it. I don't even want to talk about this topic no more.
I know,
with you.
I mean, but I know, but when you mix up carelessly terms like deficit and debt, now, come on, now, you just can't do that. They're not the same.
They both the same to me.
Obama might have voted
it's the same thing. Look them both
the
up. They both
Iraq.
Related.
Yeah, he voted
deficit,
against that.
Debt.
But
they
there
mean
wasn't a
deficit and debt mean the same thing, Sarge.
That he did not vote for, not one. And that was most of the federal budget, not the war in Iraq.
I'm done with this discussion on this. We can move, change the topic.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm happy to move on. I'm just saying that you made your case. I made mine. I mean, I can just go back and show you the record.
I can show you where the balance, the budget was balanced, and we didn't have, we didn't owe nobody nothing.
The budget, but we're disagreeing about
okay,
the
okay, so who messed up the country? Who messed up the world?
On Bill Clinton. They would not
which
appropriate
party,
the monies that he wanted them to.
Which party messed up the world and cost us this high debt that we in?
On that one, I would have to say it was
you
rat.
Stuttering.
Why don't you
yeah,
tell me
you
think
yeah.
And then tell me why you think it's so.
I already did. I ain't going to repeat myself. Go
that,
back and listen to the tape. Go back and listen
that,
to the tape.
George Bush started a war in Iraq. Well, before he started a war
on
in Iraq,
lie.
He started
on
a war
lie.
In Afghanistan that everybody agreed we had to fight.
You changing everything up. I told you I don't want to talk
I'm
about
not changing
this
everything
topic
up. I'm agreeing
further.
With you and telling you what you're leaving out. Yes, he did start the war in Iraq, yes, but he started the war in Iraq based upon the war from 1991 where we defeated Saddam Hussein and he signed an armistice, which he repeatedly violated.
Who violated?
Saddam Hussein. The United Nations said he violated
No, he didn't.
Yes,
he didn't violate that stuff. They
he
lied and said he did.
UN
he didn't.
Inspectors to inspect sites that he agreed to when he lost the war and signed the armistice. He would not allow. He kicked out the UN inspectors that were
he
looking
for the
uranium sites.
He let them people come in all
the
time. He got
Saddam
frustrated
the
with them.
Mass destruction. Remember, he kicked the inspectors out, the UN inspectors.
He kept letting them inspectors in
minute,
to the point where
see,
they kept, they was in there all
see,
the time. And then the one time he said, you can't come,
the
they won't make a big deal.
Up against him.
Man, they let that man in the country all, that man was
okay,
letting those
put,
inspectors
okay.
in all
okay,
the time.
I understand you saying they shouldn't have sanctioned him. What I'm trying to tell you is the United Nations officially sanctioned Saddam Hussein for violating the terms of armistice he signed in 1991.
he got fussed. Don't he got a right to defend his own way of thinking and what he believes in his
now
country?
Now, when you lose the war and you sign an armistice, you don't. That's
yes,
why you,
you
know,
do.
That's
you
why
have,
you're not
you
supposed to lose the war.
Have, you still have diplomats.
When your enemy
you still
makes
have,
you sign why did you ask Germany what happened to them in 1918? They had to give up
you
their
know
army.
America violated that whole thing. They
had to let France
whole,
occupy the Rhineland.
Whatever Saddam...
You give
Saddam,
a lot of your national sovereignty when you lose a war.
Whatever Saddam was doing while he was the president of his country, he was trying to play with diplomacy. He was trying to be fair to the point where he can be fair. He's not going to let somebody just completely walk over him if he can help it. And that's what he was trying to do.
Okay.
He was trying not. He was in an 8-year war with Iran. He just finished with a war with them.
Okay.
Go ahead,
I understand you're making a case for Iraq and Saddam Hussein. I understand. I am simply relating that when you lose a war, whether you sign an unfair or fair armistice, then the victors of that war are liable to enforce the terms of the armistice against you when you violate them. And that's what he did. The United Nations sanctioned Saddam Hussein. The United Nations.
I get it. I really do, because, you know, about the Kuwait invasion and all of that, and they pushed him back, and then everything was cool for a good while, and then the Bushes were like, oh, we should have took the whole country while you were there, and if our son gets in there, he's going to finish the job and all that. I know all of that. Yeah. So, yeah, he got in there, and he finished the job based on a lie, went to war on a false premise of weapons of mass destruction being held by Saddam and having nuclear arms and all this stuff. That was a whole lie that Colin Powell got up before the American people, had a whole press conference and announced and pointed out on his screen that they have these weapons in this storehouse here and they have weapons over here and this is the places where they keep these stockpiles of weapons and we're going to go in, we're going to destroy them. And then they say, okay, we're going to give them the shock and awe. So, you know, the deadline is here and shock and awe is going to happen. And they just bombed the hell out of Iraq. Bomb the hell out of Iraq for what? For nothing, because they went and found they didn't have nothing that they said they had. It caused so much destruction on a beautiful country, okay, with a rich history that went way back that you just destroyed, tore up and stole stuff. Got over there and stole stuff out the libraries and stole money and gold and everything else. And oil and made contracts for yourself and then took the oil and made the prices high and made us pay for the war at the pump and all this stuff. The American people had to pay for this and Halliburton and all these people stole our money and everything based on a lie. So and then it made the debt $17 trillion. Okay? That's crazy. And ruined the world economy.